Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, footlong. Who's got the footlong?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rule. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual,
host.
Host.
Annual.
An annual meeting of
the big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls. They're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell did they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Fellas, I think we could listen to the radio or something.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Another day here at Gillette Stadium, and we are getting closer and closer to opening day, September 14th, Monday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills. You can feel the excitement. It's, you know, the first real media day of the year. Today was the day when they have pizza. That's all we care about. No, seriously, it was like a playoff atmosphere. It was a packed media workroom.
A 1963 playoff atmosphere, Fred.
Right.
Pat Patriot in the house. All new helmets. And yep. I'm worried about the offense because every player on offense is wearing a red non-contact jersey for practice. I'm not sure they'll be able to field a team.
I think they're just getting used to seeing each other in red.
They are, but the practice jerseys for the offense, the red ones, have no numbers on them.
Oh no,
so
that's not good.
You have 20-something players out there all looking identical.
Do you think that they did that on purpose?
I don't know. I don't know whether it was on purpose now, but I told Paul, I think Bill will say, I can put all my players on the field in red jerseys with no numbers on them?
Right.
This might stick.
No, I do know that they are. I just spoke to one of the equipment guys, and they're in a crunch. Reebok is really slow in getting the jerseys here. They're sewing names on as we speak. They don't even have all of them yet. The reason why I know is because I was trying to get one for the mascot, for crying out loud, and they can't even spare one. So mascot might have to run out with a Seymour jersey from the pro shop, because I know there's a few of those left. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about today. Andy's here. Paul's here. Is Eric coming? Or is he doing one of his updates?
I think he's doing an update. He'll do the practice update and appear after that.
Okay. Doc's in the booth.
Windscreens are on our mics. Do we sound better?
Yeah. Webradio@patriots.com is the email.
I don't hear you breathing. I'm breathing on them anymore.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Yes, Paul. Oh, now he's going to ask something. Now he's drinking.
So I, in case you care, I learned something interesting yesterday, Fredo, about our listeners.
Yeah.
Numerous listeners. I love our listeners.
We have a lot of them.
We do. But numerous of them don't listen to the show. They just call in to be a part of it. So yesterday, it was obviously Patriots Monday on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
From about noon to 2, we had 7 phone calls looking to come on and talk to you guys. And I'm like, are you guys listening to what's going on over the internet?
What you should have done is let them on with these guys and say, is Fred there? You know? That would have been good.
And Smirlis was here.
Well.
Well, yeah, not at
not
the time.
The Fred.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, the Fred. Sorry.
He really should have a show in
not
Buffalo.
The former
He's
All
a Buffalo Pro. Bill. He's not a Patriot.
No, I would go the other way. He really shouldn't have a show anywhere.
Oh, okay.
The man can't speak.
All right.
That's true.
All right. So a lot to talk about, as I said. Throwback game, as Andy mentioned. They'll be in the Pat Patriot uniforms. A little bit different style, though, than what we remember. It's based on 1963, right?
Yep. That's when they correct. Lost at Rocky Balboa.
Right.
Yeah, the helmets... They have the two red stripes spread on the top down, you know, and then they don't have the blue one in the middle. So it's
Paul's not happy.
It's white. So just because Fred had mentioned that it might not be the exact ones that you're thinking of, that was a subtle difference that I noticed.
And you bitched about it in the locker room.
I didn't bitch about it. I don't like it, but I didn't bitch about it.
And those throwback jerseys are available in the pro shop as we speak, which is a perfect segue for me to let everyone know that at 4 o'clock today. Stop at 4 o'clock today. A new show will debut on Patriots.com radio called Shop Talk. And that is hosted by Christina Akroth. So if there's any other reason to listen, that's the main reason. Christina Akroth is hosting it. And on the show will be the people.
Buying purses and shoes she'll talk about?
No. On the show will be
female apparel.
Who actually work in the Patriots Pro Shop. So all your merchandise questions that you always ask us.
Oh, I see what you did.
What's that?
You wanted to make sure you got some pro shop personnel to show up, so you say,
right. You
go in, talk with Christina.
Well, I got the email from Maury yesterday. He goes, so you chose Accra over Maury? Good call. That was his email.
So who is the first pro shop
guest? I think
I
picked the host.
Who's on? Jim Scollins, who runs the internet division.
Scollins, Periello, and Breitenbach.
Mike Periello, who runs the store.
Creep 1, 2, and 3 we'll refer
store.
To them as for today.
And
three,
Jeff Breitenbach, who runs the warehouse. So it's a good selection, and you know, they'll talk about the new stuff. Obviously, they'll talk about the throwback stuff, but they'll also have guests. Our Reebok rep will be on, and we can yell at him about why we don't get enough Reebok stuff on time. And you know, I want people to really contribute to the show. I'm talking about the listeners. I want you to get in there. There's no holds barred. These guys, they're seasoned veterans. They're used to customer service questions. So go ahead. You know, whatever's on your mind, things you think that the pro shop should have. Maybe you have an item that you want to get valued. You know, you've got a signed whatever, you know, from 1970. Maybe they can help you get a value on that thing. So it's an hour show from 4 to 5. It debuts today, and it will be every Wednesday from here on in throughout the season.
So should I send my email in today or wait till next week? Or
no, go.
About the beach towels that are shorter than me and I'm short?
Send it in now. Send it in now.
You are short.
I am short.
So
and
I'm really
how shorter than me.
So I'm asking all our listeners to tune in and give them a good start.
What do you think of this Richard Seymour thing, Fred? Now that I've let you go 10 minutes without talking about.
No, we're going to get right into that, Paul.
News.
You know, Andy and I did the PFW show yesterday, which, by the way, you can watch on Patriots.com right now. They have to lose the background though. It looks like we're about to go into warp speed. It's ridiculous. Get these stars shooting at us.
I was focusing on the content. I thought the content was phenomenal.
Yeah, I think we did a decent job. I mean, we each had time to get in our views.
Yeah, because Paul wasn't there to take up all the time.
Well played, Fred.
Thank you. I opened that window
Set.
And you came right through.
Spike.
Well, you start out. What do you think about the Seymour thing?
Well, I was embarrassed yesterday not to be a part of that show, to be honest with you.
No, you had your thing to do.
But I did. Did
tell
a poor
tell
job.
People what you were doing.
I did a poor job of organizing my time. I was to be on All Access, and the times kind of coincided. So usually we tape All Access in the morning. We were doing it in the afternoon, and I just didn't think. It was my fault. I shouldn't have committed to something I couldn't do. For the Seymour thing, which was much more important, I think we're all in agreement here on the trade itself for the most part. You know, in the short term, there's some questions. In the long term, I think it's a grand slam home run. More than likely, in 2011, I think the economic landscape of rookie contracts is going to look a lot different. We all know that. So, you know, I'm all for that, even though I love Seymour. Everybody knows I make no secrets about the fact he's one of my favorite guys. And, you know, the purge of guys that I actually have somewhat of a relationship with continues. But overall, Fred, I can't really argue with the value that you got for the trade. Unlike most people, I don't think a first-round pick was out of the ordinary. Everybody else seems to think we went in with a ski mask on and held up Al Davis with a water gun and somehow swindled an old man out of a first-round pick. I think that's what a five-time All-Pro five-time Pro Bowler is worth, but I'm in the vast minority on that.
Well, it's interesting because Belichick did say that they first talked about this around the time of the Burgess trade.
Right.
And, you know, I can see, you know, they're talking about Burgess, and I can see whoever it is they're talking from the Raiders. I don't know if they talked directly to Al at this point. Could be Amy Trask, who was next in charge there. You know, hey, what about Seymour? Are you interested in, you know, trading him? We'll give you, you know, we'll give you a second. Patriots probably say at that time, you know what? No way. We're not going to do that. After, you know, a little time to think about. They come back. How about a first? No, we're not going to give you a first. Well, how about a first next year? And maybe, you know, that I'm speculating that could be how it went. It could be.
Well, there have been various reports that the Patriots turned down a 2010 one. They turned down at some point a 2010 two and a five, yeah. And then it evolved into a 2011 one.
Yeah, who and where is the source, or what is the source for turning down the 2010 one?
I heard Michael Felger say it. So
yeah. So did he make it up, or did he cite a source?
Listen, it's possible.
It is possible, but I'd like to know what the source is here. You know?
I don't have the answer to that, unfortunately.
I mean, would you have agreed with that? Would you think that's wise if the Patriots turned down a 2010 one?
Yes.
You do?
If they really think it's what they're talking about right now in terms of the change in the contracts, yeah. Because I think that it's not about necessarily cap space. It's about giving that amount of resources to a guy who's done nothing to prove himself. Oh. I think the problem that most teams have, and what are we talking about here? Maybe top 7, 8 picks?
Sure.
That really, really astronomical 30-plus million guaranteed kind of numbers. I think that that bothers some of the owners to have to do that, not necessarily for cap reasons, but just in pure liquid money that you're handing over to a guy who's done nothing. I think in 2011, if they can get it to where they want it, where they think it's going, and I heard them talking about this morning a little bit, I think there's very, very little chance that that doesn't happen in the next CBA.
Oh, I think that's going to be one of the main things that the owners are going to be looking
for. No, I know, but that doesn't mean they're going to get it. But I think that the players
are
enough on board with that.
Oh, absolutely. We were talking
to make sure that it happens.
Yeah, the only people that are against that are the top five players in college and their agents. Mm-hmm. Even veteran players say, you know, what's a good idea.
To some degree. As I told you yesterday, I still think there is some value to veteran players because when Jonathan Ogden comes up for free agency, he's pointing to Jake Long's contract and saying, this guy got this for nothing. I'm a six-time All-Pro. We start there and move upward.
That's
so
true.
They use it as a measuring stick.
But
they use it as a catapult.
Assuming the salary pool is the same, the money that you're spending on these high-priced rookies could be spent to make your middle class a little bit
certainly,
better.
Certainly, certainly. You know? But the only question I have, and Paul, and you said you feel like they're going to get some adjustment to the rookie scale.
I think there's virtually no chance that that's not included.
What do the players get? Because the owners are blowing up this agreement because too much of the percentage
players,
is going.
Like I just said, more money. The veteran players get more money.
They're not.
No, I'm talking about in the CBA.
Players.
In the CBA, right. If they're going to give up the high first round picks, if they're going to give up the 60% becomes 58.
No question.
What are the players getting?
No question.
Now
they're
the franchise tag would be one of them. That's gone.
Right.
Blow that up.
And here's the one thing that they're looking.
But
I think the
it has to be one for. Okay, you get that. I get this. You get that. I get this.
This is what they're going to be looking for mostly, and then this feeds into the whole problem among the owners. They want more of the other revenues that are not now included in the revenue, the shared revenue. They want some of those other revenues now included in the revenues.
Right.
So right now, the players get 60% of shared revenues. But right. There's a lot of revenues that owners make, luxury suites, you know, that are not included in that. And that's
PFW,
how the
revenue.
That's how the owners.
The money that we make.
Right.
That's not
a lot.
It's not. Seriously, it isn't. So that's how the owners make their money on top
also
of
doesn't
it.
Exist.
So you know, that's where you hear DeMarcus Smith or whatever his name is.
DeMorris.
You know,
DeMarcus.
You know, when he says, I want them to open their books, he's not talking about just opening the books of the shared revenues. He's talking about all the revenues that are related to football.
Right.
And they want some of those revenues included to make that
And that's why I think it's going to get
bigger,
ugly.
A bigger pie.
That's why I think it's going to get ugly.
That is where
because only
get
so many teams have those
that's,
or maximize
that's
those,
a,
and
that's
now we're back to
right.
the Patriots who maximize
right.
everything
that's
versus the
hey,
Bengals or the.
Right. But the that's, owners will only have themselves to blame if they don't give something
right.
back.
Right.
And
right.
That's you make a very valid point, Andy. I mean, if you that's a big thing that the players are giving. If they give that up, the owners are going to have to give something of value up.
Oh, they're absolutely going to.
Now, maybe you can tell me the money will be the exact same because we'll add in PFW and whatever else you're going to include in that extended pool, but we'll lower the percentage of the pool so that the raw figure is still the same.
Well, somehow, obviously the players aren't going to take any less, but this
right.
is where it really gets sticky, and this is where the players' union says, look, we can't even begin to talk about this until the owners, settle on it. When you get into the shared revenue, and you start including that extraneous revenue that's not shared today, that's when teams like Dallas and the Patriots say, hey, wait a minute, that's not fair. Because we do a lot more
right.
stuff. We take more risks. We make more money. Now we have to share that and put it in the pool when teams like, and I'm just going to throw one out there. I don't even know. The Jacksonville Jaguars don't do as much to maximize their revenue, and they're going to share in, we're putting in more, but it's being shared equally.
But you're taking out more.
Well, we don't know that. Are the players going to allow you to take more out?
No. I'm saying you're not investing just resources and money to have PFW. You're doing it because it benefits you. If it didn't benefit you, you wouldn't do it.
Well,
you wouldn't call your stadium Gillette Stadium if it was
right.
free.
And
you
right
call
now,
it Gillette Stadium because Gillette paid $100 million.
And right now you're doing it because it just benefits you. Would the teams, the big market teams, do all that
yes.
stuff if they wouldn't
yes.
be able to keep
That's
it all?
That's like saying the person who's making $80,000 doesn't want to make $100,000 because he's going to have to pay more income tax. No, he'll take the $100,000 because he's still only paying in a percentage, whether it's 35% of $100,000.
Listen, that's,
he gets his 65%.
That among the owners is almost more important than the owners versus the agents. It's the owners versus themselves. They have to figure that out.
Once they
do that, then they know what they can go to the table with the Players Association. So it's very complicated. But the owners, they know that.
That was the big problem
the last time
they rushed it through. It was owners against owners, not
right.
necessarily owners against players.
That's right. Because the players are saying, wait a minute, we don't want to deal with the existing pool. We want that pool bigger, and we know you're making other monies, and we know that you're making monies because of football. We want your books open so we know what they are,
but
add it into the, So I'm not taking a side here. I'm just explaining what's going on.
I don't want to – I'm obviously not an economics major or whatever, but it seems kind of simple to me that if you increase whatever – so the Patriots are now adding more to the pool because they make more money. The salary cap increases – correct. And the floor increases. So mm-hmm. these teams that aren't doing as much have to spend that much money. So won't they have to try to make more if they're going to claim,
Well,
they can't just sit back and do nothing because they have to spend
$88 million
or whatever it is. And to get there, they're either going to lose money or get their asses in gear and try to make more money.
But here's where I think you're missing. Maybe you're not. Let's just say the salary cap increases by $20 million.
Right.
Let's just say that for argument's sake, okay? That means now every team has to spend a certain amount to get up to the salary cap, okay? I'm a small market team. Even though, I'm sharing a little bit now and more revenues than I was before, I can't afford that salary cap. You've increased the salary cap on me. I can't compete. So now I need more of your revenues. In order to compete. So
can't
that's
compete
where the
or aren't competing.
Is. Well,
there's a difference.
Yes, and that's one of the arguments.
Ralph Wilson Stadium.
Right.
Can't compete or sell it and make $10 million.
That's one of the arguments.
I know you won't sell it as much as Dallas or New York or L.A., but you can sell it. It doesn't have to be Ralph Wilson Stadium.
When the Rooneys come out and say, oh, we're keeping our ticket prices down for the fans, the other owners will say, well, wait a minute. If you can make more on your tickets, you should be making them.
But you only have to if you're going to bitch about I can't reach the floor. Correct?
Well, also,
if you don't want to raise ticket prices but are doing business in that range of $85 million to $100 whatever the floor and ceiling is,
right.
then that's up to you how you choose to do business. But don't come to us with low ticket prices and say, I can't compete.
Right. That's true.
I mean, that's
right.
where the water gets muddy is
that's
our
right.
teams truly doing everything they can
right.
in order to work into the framework that exists,
that's
or
true.
Are they lollygagging by and
right.
not doing enough?
Right. So it is...
It is complex on some levels, but I think on other levels, they make it more complex than it needs to be.
Well, All right, so let's forget
about
all
this talk. Yeah,
we
shouldn't be talking
about
that.
You know,
we may have an entire 2011 year to talk about.
We want to talk about football, and we want to talk about Richard Seymour and what his departure, we think, means to the team. And,
we think.
And getting ready. Well, we don't know what's going on.
And he hasn't departed. He's going into day three of not arriving in Oakland.
And there's so many different opinions as to what exactly the rules are in terms of what would happen if this, you know, worst-case scenario happens where he just doesn't report or whatever, and do the Patriots suddenly have some responsibility that they thought that they had rid themselves of? I don't know. I mean, I think this, you know, this whole 5-day letter thing and reserve did not report, and there's so many different elements to this story that.
But the trade isn't final until he passes a physical.
Exactly.
And to pass a physical, he has to report to a Raider representative, right?
Exactly.
So to me, I know Bill said yesterday he's not property of the team. I can't count.
Well, that's part of what
about
I was
him,
getting at.
But.
Yeah.
It's not final. It was approved by the league, but it becomes final upon the physical. So if he never shows up, he can never have a physical, right?
I agree.
Because there's no way the Raiders, having not had a physical with Richard Seymour, having never seen Richard Seymour in body, are going to issue the 5-day letter and put him on their reserve list, which, because he's not really on their team. The trade hasn't been finalized, right?
That's how I understand it.
I mean, if he doesn't show up, to me, the trade becomes null and void.
And I've talked to a couple of people who, in the media, who have said that they have talked to Seymour himself, and he's really adamant about, and I can't even get into the specifics. I don't know what the specific is, but he's really adamant about whatever's bothering him. And it doesn't really seem like there's much of an end in sight. Now, Cable has talked about there's a couple of things he needs to work out with the Patriots.
Well, Cable, I think Cable talked out of both sides of his mouth. One day he said he has issues with the Patriots. The next day somebody said, is there talks of a long-term extension or whatever? And he said, I'm not going to say anything else until we have something concrete. And to me, that question and answer makes it feel like, yeah, we're negotiating a contract. When it's finalized and signed, which would be concrete,
well,
I'll talk about it.
Okay, but you can't negotiate with a guy unless he's your property.
I don't think he's the property of – I don't think either team right now considers him their property. And then the league says you'd have to ask the teams.
Well,
I don't know. He's in no man's land right now.
What I'm saying is you can't be talking about a long-term contract with anyone unless he's your property.
See, I don't know.
You know? So.
And there's a difference between thinking he's your property. I mean, the Patriots clearly think he's their property. Bill said it.
Right.
So
the terms of the deal have been ratified by the league. That part's done.
Right.
Now, the question about, you know – getting a physical is a good one. You know, when does that happen? You know,
it should have already happened.
Right.
Yeah.
In normal
cases.
Because
he should have gotten on a plane and showed up.
I mean, he should be playing Monday night.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like he's going to. Maybe it's Wednesday. He's still in the Foxborough area.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that he's going to be playing Monday night.
I got to tell you, if
imagine.
I'm Oakland and this goes much further, I just pull the plug.
Exactly. But that's my point. Then what?
He's a Patriot.
What does it mean for the – I mean, do you take him back? Is he part of your team?
Well, you have to.
You've lost your first round
pick. Unless you're just going to cut him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What do you do then? That creates a whole can of worms. Yeah. Now you have a potentially, and I know that Bill pretty much ignores all quote-unquote distractions, but that's a pretty tough one to ignore.
So, okay. We don't know the rules. But what would happen if, for example, there was a rule that, you know, he could come under the heading of failed physical, deals off, he's back with the Patriots. What do you do if you're the Patriots?
I think if that were to happen, you take him back and you play him.
But it's business.
I mean, is this like...
It's business is exactly right.
Right, it is business, but...
If it's business going out, it's business
bad
coming
business,
in.
It's bad business to not get a first-round pick and chop your nose off to spite your face and say, you know what, you're not getting your money. You're on the do-not-report list. You're out.
Right.
That's
but
bad business.
I would imagine Kraft and Belichick, both, either one, have to sit down with Richard ASAP if happens and say, look, it is just business. We need to know what your mindset is, you know, what's going to happen this year. Are you going to play for us?
You know, but your hands are tied. You're not going to cut him.
You're
not going to cut him because we've all admitted whether he's traded, you're not as good without him, right? Unless you decide he's this
really
locker room
cancer.
You're really
not as good without him and the first round pick that you got in 2 years.
Well, I mean, you could eat the money and put him on injured reserve.
Right, but you're not as good.
You're not as good anyway.
Right, but at least you're not as good one way with a first-round pick in a couple of years.
I know, but, you know, if Richard's coming in and it's obvious he's just not going to play ball with you, he's going to be out there. He's going to, you know, I'm going to half-ass it.
Well, then you're in a Terry Glenn situation.
Right.
You'd have to,
then you, you issue the letter and all that crap. You go down the legal.
I don't think he would do that.
Yeah.
I think if he – I think what he's trying to do is first and foremost, he's trying to leverage more money. I don't know who he's trying to leverage that money from. I don't know if he's trying to get it from the Patriots with that vague thing that Cable said.
Yeah, but if he
or if he's trying to get something from the Raiders and say, give me an extra million or guarantee you won't franchise
well,
me
that,
next year or something.
Okay.
Whatever.
All those things have been thrown out there, by the way. All of them.
Well, I'm not making them up. Yeah. I mean, he's trying to get something
now,
that benefits
from somebody.
Now, if I was Richard,
that benefits him.
Right. If I was Richard Seymour, I know my payday is going to come next year unless the Raiders franchise me. Now, if he gets franchised, he's still going to make pretty good money.
Well, about
$12 million.
About $12 million. What I don't understand, see, I hate the franchise tag for the players, and I think it's wrong, and Andy brought it up. That probably will be a good player chip in that negotiation. But for a guy like Seymour, the franchise tag works for the player.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
At this stage of your career, if you can get franchised and you get a guaranteed $12 million and then hit free agency – what, you're not going to get more than $12 million in the first year of any new deal next year.
Right. Let's say that he does a five-year deal, guaranteed $20 million. Well, you already got half of it in your pocket, you know, right there.
More than half.
Right.
And I look, I don't know how much more than that he's expecting to make, but could he possibly top the deal that he already signed with the Patriots, the $30 million deal?
In pocketed money?
Yeah,
probably
well, that's what
not.
I'm talking about, in guaranteed money.
Getting paid $30 million in, say,
yeah, he might get one of those paper $65 million contracts that turns out to be a $25 million deal. He could get something like that.
I mean, I got to think his bonus money will be in the teens, regardless of how he gets it, right?
In the teens?
I would think.
Okay.
Right, so, I mean, if Albert Haynesworth is getting a guaranteed 40 point or $41 million, Seymour's not a third of that? Which is
no, I think Seymour could get around
14 million.
No, I'm talking about guarantee. I'm not. You're just talking about guarantees are up front.
Guaranteed money.
Okay, yeah, no, I think he can get close.
14 million in guarantees.
I think he can get 25. I think he can get more than, in terms of a total. If he signed like a 4 or 5 year deal, I think he could get 20 or 25 million of that guaranteed. But I don't think he can get it all up front in one in the first year.
Oh, well, whatever.
Like you could get in the...
I go by true guarantees, Paul. I don't play by the in the range of guarantees.
But think
about
it this
way,
Andy. If he gets franchised, he gets $12 million in his
pocket. Guaranteed.
And then next year...
And then he's a free agent again.
But I'm saying as a free agent, he's going to get more than that. Guaranteed.
No, I know, but what I'm what I
but
think
more than likely,
is,
if he gets franchised, he's going to get more than what he would have gotten as original.
It's not
free
so
agent,
dreadful
more than likely, unless he gets hurt.
Yeah, it's not so dreadful to think ahead and say, "Well, they might franchise me." That's not the end of the world.
No, I don't. Especially for a guy who's now, I mean, is he pocketed $60 million in the National Football League? I mean, as the sixth overall pick in the draft, and then a $30 million extension and a $1 million bonus, and I mean. The guy's got to be up in the $50 to $60 million in his pocket.
It doesn't seem like he spends
and that's
like
why,
Ty Law. He
that's why I don't think it's such a bad thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I don't think it's such a bad thing if a guy like him were to get franchised. The guys that don't want to, I mean, Vince Wilfork is waiting to pay it to cash in that first
no
time.
No question.
A franchise tag to him would hurt a lot more right now, even though there's only 2 years difference between those two players.
But it's easy for us to say, next year you're going to get $12 million or in the course of the next year, through a signing bonus, a salary, and a roster bonus, you're going to get 19.
But I think he has a chance to get $12 million next year, and then the following year get a signing bonus
a
and all that stuff.
To,
but yeah,
a chance
to. But a chance
to.
As long as he stays
but
healthy. And he has
$60
million in the
guaranteed,
bank.
Yeah, but it's easy for us to say, you'll get the other $7 million in a year. Maybe he's just saying, that's not guaranteed. I want the $7 million now.
Well,
I mean, it's easy for us to just say, you're going to get your extra $7, $10, whatever it is, million.
Yeah.
Is Seymour hurting himself right now by doing what he's doing? Is he hurting
I think so. I mean,
well,
I just
it all
think
depends on how is he hurting
reputation
himself?
Wise and for a future contract. Let's just say that
no,
he plays
not
a,
enough. Not, reputation not wise, but there's always going to be two or three teams that want him and will pay to get him. So if he loses one, there'll always be others. I those reputation things, I don't think they hurt you really much in the paycheck.
I mean,
it's like Brandon Marshall couldn't do much worse. At some point, Brandon Marshall is going to get a big contract from somebody.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing his reputation much good, but I don't think it's going to hurt him in the bottom line.
You guys just came from the locker room. Are the questions still being asked of Seymour, and what are the responses? Is it still company line where, you know, guys need to step up? You know, we miss him.
I didn't really hear any. You were in on right.
No, I mean, the questions today were more along the lines of football, like what happens in his absence, you know, who, you know, blah, blah, blah. The other day, there was more than company line, I thought.
Right.
I thought there was some dejected, especially Will Fork, Warren, and Dallas Thomas a little bit. Really surprised. Warren actually surprised Andy and I, specifically coming out and saying Seymour himself had mentioned it to Warren back in the offseason that he thought something could be coming. And, you know,
it's interesting. Yeah. Why did he think that, you know?
Well, I think that they probably had talked to him about it a little bit, and he knew. My guess, and this is total speculation. I have nothing to base this on. My guess is that they were interested in re-signing Richard Seymour, and they had talked to him about it in the offseason. And I'm going back to even something as innocent as our little sit-down with him, Andy, at the golf tournament and the whole we're going to have to get the stimulus package together. I think that they may have talked to him, and they may have come to the realization at that time,
There's no way we're going to sign this
guy. We ain't going to be able to re-sign this guy because he wants way more than we're willing
to
give.
And I'll tell you,
And that's when Seymour probably said, they're not going to re-sign me. They might get rid of me before then.
Yeah. I'll tell you, one of the things that works against Seymour, and I'll say it, is his agent, Eugene Parker. This guy is, you know, he's saying no before you even say anything out of your mouth.
Well, that's the story out there because he's also Michael Crabtree's agent.
That's right.
They're writing stories about Eugene Parker holding the Bay Area hostage right now because he's got a guy on both teams that isn't playing.
But this guy is notorious. I mean, you know, I guess if you're his client, you like the way he does business. But, you know, I've heard a lot of horror stories about this guy, and he's a tough guy to deal with, you know.
But in the end, does he get his guy the money? That's the question.
I guess. You know.
Now, I think it's two different scenarios because, to me, Crabtree could ruin his career. Your career can end before it starts, whereas Seymour is established. He's at some point, he'll be back on a football field for some team making good money. I think there's two different situations there.
I mean, I don't know what they offered Richard Seymour. I'd like to think it was above the insult level. And I mean, you gotta, if you're Seymour, you gotta look at it and go, yeah, okay, do I want to leave teams and uproot my family or stay on the team that drafted me, won 3 Super Bowls with, will go into the Hall of Fame with, and, you know, ride out my career?
Well, that's how I look at it. I've had my doubts about what Seymour wants, what he's looking for. Like, there was times where I thought he hated Bill Belichick and didn't want to be on this team. And then they offer him a nice contract, and he signs it to stay here. And now this playing, I mean, he got everything he wanted, essentially, last contract. They gave him a lot of money. I mean, first they gave him the bonus.
Right.
Then they gave him
a
guaranteed contract worth $30 million. I mean, he got a lot of money that he was always going to see. It wasn't a paper contract. It was a real contract.
I mean, think about it. He got about $26 million out of that contract, right?
Well, I think more than that. I thought it was right around $30 million. The guarantees were like in that range.
I thought it was 30. The contract was 30, and he didn't get the last 3.685 or whatever the salary is right now.
Well, yeah, but he's going to get that from somebody.
No, but not from the Patriots is my point. I mean, so that's
but he played out that contract. Yeah. There's nothing on paper there. I mean, his dead cap number on a 4-year deal is six and change.
Six and
that's
seven,
$24 million in guarantees right there. But you know, he got everything
he
wanted.
Rest.
So what do you want? You know, we worked with you. I mean, it was essentially a Tom Brady contract. Both those guys got the same contract. One for a quarterback compared to quarterback money. So instead of $100 million, Brady got $60 million that he saw all of. Seymour got $30 million instead of $50 million that he could have got on the open market. Both get to stay with the team where they came up, where they built a winning tradition, where they could win Super Bowl rings. What do you want now? I mean, what are we doing here to play business? Do you want the $100 million deal now? Because you're not getting it.
Right.
And in proportion, Seymour's deal was that deal that Andy talked about for Brady. For defensive players,
yeah, that's my
at
point.
It was,
instead of $50 million, he got $30 million. Brady got $60 million instead of $100 million.
I think he was a top three paid guy.
And that's the thing. A lot of people, there's this myth around that Brady took the hometown discount.
No.
He really didn't. Could he have gotten more on the open market?
Yes,
probably yes. But he, at the end of the day, when that deal was done, he was of the top three players in the NFL in terms of salary. I mean, at that time, he isn't anymore. But at that time, he put him in the top three.
And he will
be
next time, regardless of how the deal is sold.
Right.
He's going to get paid.
Right. He put him in the top three. See, he didn't really take a big discount.
Right. Not like Steve McNair, who had a roster bonus for $50 million that probably wouldn't be paid.
That he likely wouldn't see.
I mean, Brady's contract was a contract, just like Seymour's was a contract.
You know, so I'd love that myth to go away that, you know, the Patriots are always looking to, you know, they never spend. There are cases where they decide they don't want to spend. Deion Branch, Sonny Samuel,
Ellis
David
Hobbs.
Gibbons, Adam Vinatieri. You know,
they don't want you. They don't want you.
And then there are situations where they do spend.
Some would argue overspent.
So,
I mean, we've looked at deals they've given to guys like Vrabel or Jarvis Green or
Jarvis Green's the one
Matt
really
Light or Dan Copen. They go to them early. They pay them some money, a little bit less than market value maybe because we're a year too early.
Right.
But if they want you, they go get you.
Right.
I think that most of those deals have been pretty team-friendly deals. The Jarvis Green one, to me, was a guy that, for whatever reason, they valued a hell of a lot higher than I would have.
Hmm.
And that's rare in this day and age.
Yeah.
But getting back to the root of the Seymour trade and what we kind of argued yesterday on the TV show, Paul, Fred, you're not as good as you were, right? I mean, that's the bottom line for today.
Well,
and when you look at it long term, that's nice as a GM to build a franchise for the next decade.
I knew he wouldn't be able to say it once he got on the radio.
But you're not as good as you were, and Tom Brady's going to be a free agent after next season.
Right.
Randy Moss could be retired after next season or as a free agent. This core you have is going to look very different. You may not be the team you thought you were. And it makes great sense. Okay, if Brady's not here, we have the number one overall pick from Oakland. We'll draft a quarterback.
Well, you know what? I wanted to bring that up just to give my brother props on Sunday. He's like, you think that they might be thinking in terms of what if we don't get Brady re-signed? And this is, you know,
but what about thinking we have Brady? Let's win with him.
This is as good a guaranteed top five pick as you can get, right?
Well, yeah. it's guaranteed top seven. They
five
in like
a row.
Five in a row hasn't been. I mean,
no, it's a very good point. They lucked out by getting a franchise quarterback like Brady in the sixth round.
And they've
you
failed.
Have to plan in the future that you're going to need to get your quarterback out of the first round,
or you plan to maximize that quarterback now and win another title.
And you've seen just how difficult. I know that seems to be like the flavor of the draft month. Like you don't need to, you know, spend these resources to get a franchise quarterback. Yeah, I understand that not all the quarterbacks that win were first overall picks and first round picks. There are some guys like Drew Brees and some others that weren't first round picks. But you've seen how hard it is to do what they did with Brady.
Right.
And the Patriots have drafted a quarterback virtually every single year. And out of all those guys they drafted, they found one who could play.
I would argue that's just a myth that you can get a quarterback because I'll give you four for every one you give me.
Exactly.
I'll give you Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger. I'll just go down the list of first round quarterbacks who are their team's franchise quarterback.
Right.
And then you can come back with, Tony Romo or Drew Brees, who was like early
second,
in the second.
I think it was the first pick of the second
but
round.
I got to think it's like at least Donovan McNabb. It's got to be like 4-1 or
that's
5-1.
Yeah.
Those first round.
People
Flacco
totally,
and
Ryan
from
totally
last year.
These are all first round
They're
picks.
All first round picks.
They're all high, most of them are high first round picks. They totally fixate on the busts, the Achilles Smiths and the David Klingler.
Well, I can give you those at every spot.
Cade good. McCown and those guys. But they're not all stiffs. You know, there are plenty of misses. But for the most part, if you want a guy that you want to build an offense around, you have to put a resource toward it. You're not going to get him in the sixth round very often.
Well, and that's a side shoot of, we don't need to go down this road again, but just, I said to you yesterday, I haven't heard one complaint about Adrian Peterson's contract or Jake Long. You know, everybody says, wow, it's a huge deal, but then when the guy's in his second Pro Bowl in his second year, feels pretty good.
Joe Thomas.
Gerard Mayo here, the 10th pick. It's an expensive contract. It's not
well,
at the top.
Because,
but
that's because we were smart.
Have
we
they
didn't
ever
take him seven?
Ever,
took him 10.
I mean, if you hit the pick, you don't complain. I said to Fred, Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning, did they complain about those? No, they handed them $90 million extensions. They paid them more before that deal ran out.
Right.
If you make the right pick, you don't complain about the salary.
No, but
Once did I hear Richard Seymour's contract.
I know,
is an
but
issue.
That I know we get back to the whole thing of what the owners are looking for as far as a rookie salary cap. You're right. You don't complain when you
Bill
hit on
picks
that
in
guy.
The top seven. I'd be happy
for
to
the
sign
overall
the contract.
Good, you know, and
I'll take my chances with Bill picking that.
There's
guy.
No one arguing that
Matt Millen picks him. I'm not signing the deal.
There's no one arguing that a rookie
out of
salary cap on guys that have not played it down in football is a good idea.
Fred, I'm glad that he brought that up.
Yes.
You know, I was sitting down. I watched a little college football on Saturday. I was watching a game, and, you know, Sean McDonough, I think, was doing the play-by-play, and Matt Millen was doing the color. I couldn't even pay attention. I was just totally
he was
lost.
Talking about things he doesn't know about, college football
about,
players.
He was talking about football. What do I care about what he knows about football? He went 0-16.
That's right.
I couldn't even watch it. I changed the channel.
What happened in Northeastern, by the way? I should have taken those
35
points.
I told you.
Points.
I gave you the 38 points.
Yeah.
38 I was giving
was
you.
It was a 54. That's not fair
atrocity.
What they did to those kids.
The BC didn't run it up.
I'm not saying BC. I don't think that they should schedule them against
well,
BC. That's
well,
not
I'm
right.
sure they got a no. 200 grand or
right.
something.
You play a 1A opponent as a 1AA team pretty much every year. That's Northeastern's fault that they you know, rolled over like sacrificial lambs. They've played other teams in the past and been reasonably close.
And then the check still cashes, right?
Absolutely. It was an atrocity. The coach is over his head.
Fred, what are you doing?
The football program is gone.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We have a lot of emails, a lot to talk about. We'll be right back.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change, patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A., Bank of America N.A., member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Battlefield and Terry!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehallatpatriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Richard, this is going to sound like a deep question, but
doubt it coming from you.
Are we going to see real world economics kind of get into the game of football and in any way limit the finances of football? I mean, it's hard to say this year with Albert Haynesworth getting potentially $100 million. I mean, have you thought about that at all, or had any discussions with your representatives?
We're going to bring in a stimulus package. We're going to stimulate the economy. So with all the stimulus going on, I'm sure it'll be enough for us for the primetime players out there.
Very good answer. That's a good answer.
Yeah, no questions.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
We got to package up that clip and email it over to Al Davis. Say, this is your guy now.
Your guy.
Who, by the way, on EEI is now a rotational player who was barely going
to
see the field this year.
I was
they unloaded.
Was that right?
You were flipping back and forth yesterday when you and Andy were riding home.
Yeah.
Was that embarrassing?
Yeah, it really did get to a point where I
don't
know.
Giassi had to step in. I mean, come on,
yeah.
Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a rotational player now.
Right.
You're naked.
And the word diminish came up too.
Oh, diminish greatly.
Yeah.
His role was gonna diminish greatly this year.
Look, I think the deal was a good deal, but I gotta tell you, in the preseason he looked pretty damn good.
It's because he was motivated.
He looked very good.
That's part of what you gave up.
Yeah. That's
a motivated Richard Seymour.
And some fans don't agree with this, but I think that if you ask most GMs, they like to have players, especially quality players, that are entering their walk year.
Right.
It's a very valuable thing. You don't want to have a whole team full of them, but it's a valuable thing to have, especially in football. What you get, Fred, is not only the motivation, but you get, I got to play.
Right.
I got to get out there and play.
Right.
My hamstring hurts.
Right.
I got to suck it up and get out there.
Yep.
I can't have my numbers slip. And listen, those individual kind of things benefit the team, too.
Do you think that they know Richard Seymour enough where they didn't think that for that particular guy that would be a factor? That
no.
If he's hurt, he doesn't like to play at 80%. If he's hurt, he's not going to get out there.
I don't think he's missed. I mean, I think that was one of the more overplayed aspects of this whole thing. He had the knee surgery before the 2007 season, was on PUP. He missed one game after that.
Right. So he missed seven games.
Right.
Right.
But six of them he had to miss. That's
no,
like saying Teddy Bruschi was just not durable.
He had
to miss the first six games of the 2005 season coming off a stroke.
But
couldn't play.
One thing about Richard, and you know, this is something I've seen, and I think you guys agreed with me in the past, that he doesn't always play.
I think there are times that I see him.
When he does,
yes.
He's unstoppable.
He doesn't always appear motivated.
Yes. From a motivation standpoint,
right.
I agree.
But you were going to get him motivated this year. Right?
Maybe. Maybe.
Well, why maybe?
I mean,
I don't know.
We just heard the clip. He was trying to reestablish himself as a primetime player. The money will be there for those of us primetime guys.
Right.
And you saw it in the preseason.
I did.
He was like launching himself into running backs like a hard hitting safety.
If I were a player, Fred, just as a total aside.
You're a player, Paul.
If PFW in Progress.
He's a player.
If
PFW in Progress ever approached me as a player, I would run as fast as I could. Think about what we've done.
You lying your ass off.
McKenzie tried, hurt his knee.
Tyrone McKenzie came on the day he got drafted. Less than a week later, he was torn ACL.
Right.
Tank Williams and Richard Seymour came on during the golf tournament.
Gone. Right.
Won't be seeing them no
Gone.
More.
Gone.
Alex Smith came on shortly after he was traded.
Yep.
Now he's an Eagle.
He ate some fried dough, was terrible, and he's
so
gone.
So papilla.
That's right. The only thing I can counter that with is Wes Welker did okay coming on.
How about
and Matt Castle
tall,
did okay
skinny
coming
bench warmer.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was in the past. Apparently,
this
it's
year.
An 09 curse.
Yeah, it's an 09
we had
curse.
Howie Long on. He hasn't lost his job at Fox yet.
No, but he's been making those gay commercials.
But seriously, that's, what, five players in 2009?
Well,
we've
it's
had
not like we're
the
getting
show.
The cream of the crop all the time. Let's put it,
Richard Seymour?
We had,
now he wasn't the cream of the crop.
Well, but,
we had a third-round pick.
Alex
we had
Smith.
A guy that we traded for, that we thought enough to trade for. You have to admit, that's odd.
Right.
That we traded for a guy and cut him.
Well, it's a new philosophy. I heard. Well,
I know. I heard that.
We like to get guys and then cut them.
Rachel Nance was okay still.
Have you checked? Give her a call.
Yeah. It's uncanny. Five players that we talked to, and none of them were. The only one that was
Adam
really,
Schefter lost his gig at NFL Network.
The only one that was a long shot was Tank Williams, with his injury pad. But the other four, you would have thought would have been part
Vic
of this
Carucci.
Team.
I haven't heard from him since.
He came on and he had that stupid story about peppers.
Right.
Is Mercury Morris still around?
I bet you he's
actually,
still around.
Mercury Morris came out okay. He won.
Yeah.
We laughed at him that day, but he ended up being right.
All right. WebRadio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now is John in Dallas. John, how you doing?
Doing well, guys. How you doing today?
Great.
Hey, John.
So. Hey, a lot of talk about, obviously, Richard Seymour. Assuming that this trade is consummated, right, he reports to Oakland and, we acquired a 2011 first-round pick. I've heard Vince Wilfork talk about it on EEI. BB's mentioned it a couple times through some of the interviews and phone conversations that they will probably plug in different players to fulfill different aspects of what we're missing with Richard Seymour.
Yeah, I never said that.
No, I think that's
I think that's
you're certainly not plugging in one guy.
Right.
I think that's accurate.
That's my point. My point is we might have a couple of guys that can do different things to kind of do what everything that he did, right? So with that, does that relegate us to a 4-3 defense over a 3-4?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think Bill said it, and I don't think he's lying. They've always been multiple. They're going to remain multiple. And I think what they did over the preseason showed Bill, okay, I can get several guys to do all the things that Seymour did. Not one of them's going to do everything Seymour did, but we're going to have to be used to switching up, you know, our linemen.
But that gets back to the question we've asked. On defense, in this day and age in the NFL, can you do that all the time successfully? Can you always make sure your matchups are right?
It's a good question. Because
in the old days, and the old days being before last week,
yep,
there were times where you could line up 3-4, play football.
Absolutely.
It wouldn't be ideal, but you had the horses to do it.
Right.
With this whole Bantakane, yeah, Burgess,
and you factor
Brace,
in, you factor,
Pryor, it doesn't feel like they're ready to do that.
You factor in a team that runs a no huddle like the Bills, and that it complicates it even more. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the thing is that, I mean, it's an interesting question, but the thing is that most of the talent is stacked in the front, right?
I think they are going to play probably some more four-man than we've seen in the last couple of years. But, and I've heard a lot of people say this, they traded Seymour, so that must mean that they're going to play 4-3.
I
don't understand the logic of that.
Neither do I. It's one less guy to play the 4-3.
Yeah, you have one less.
No, hold on.
One less guy, exactly. And I don't really understand why 1-1 equals 2 here.
Right.
Well, my logic, I'll tell you what, from my point of view, my logic is that you don't have one single guy that could play the same way Seymour could play in a 3-4. So if you go 4-3, there's different responsibilities in a 4-3 over a 3-4.
Right.
So can you mask some of those
deficiencies? But not for those guys. They really aren't.
Play on the line.
For those,
I'm saying
for the guys up front, according to Bill,
right,
generally stay the same.
Even in a 3-4, Belichick has always rotated. I remember it was a long time ago when he started doing that defensive line rotation, to keep guys fresh, mm-hmm, for the end of the game. You know, if you're playing a 4-3, that doesn't get any less. You know, you're going to have to rotate more guys.
And like
in.
I said,
especially if the 4-3 includes Myron Pryor and Ron Brace, guys who have never played in the NFL, right, as you don't know what you have. And even if you, I mean, there's going to be a rookie wall. There's going to be a certain limit to what they can contribute.
Yeah, right. And I watched them, John, during the summer, and they definitely played more 4-3 than I remember the last couple of years during the summer. So I won't be surprised if they feature more of those looks. I'm not sure I buy into the, we'll take the best guy we have out of that group up front, take him out of the equation. That means we're going to play more of those guys on the field at the same time. I think that's what they want to do because of whatever reason that Andy might have it really on the head. Because
I think so.
You know, when you're talking about the different changes in the sub packages, I think you're so rarely in a base set nowadays,
right,
on defense that you're kind of into something like that anyway. I think you're going to see a lot of funny mixing and matching with alignments with Ty Warren and Will Fork, maybe with a Mike Wright in a Derek Burgess, you know, a smaller type thing. Or then you might see Myron Pryor and Ron Brace out there with Will Fork and Warren in a bigger 4-3 or something like that. Jarvis Green's going to factor into the mix there too. So
right.
I think you have a lot of options, but I'm not sure.
But none of them are as good.
Well, yeah. I would rather have
Seymour. You could have done all these things with Seymour playing a role in all of them.
I would rather have Seymour with all those guys.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for the call, John. Now, I just want to read this. This was posted about a half hour ago on Pro Football Talk. Source: Seymour thought he was getting a new deal in New England. So why hasn't defensive lineman Richard Seymour reported for duty in Oakland? Some think that he wants a new deal from the Raiders. A league source tells us that the root of the problem is that Seymour thought he was getting a new deal from the Patriots. Per the source, Seymour believes that progress was made toward an agreement that would have extended his stay with the Patriots beyond 09. Then, seemingly out of nowhere, the Patriots shipped him to Oakland. The source explains that there's a chance that agent Eugene Parker led Seymour to believe that the talks toward a new deal had progressed farther than they actually had. Either way, the fact that Seymour went from thinking he was going to sign a retirement deal with the Patriots to learning that he'd been sent to the Raiders has contributed in large part to the confusion and frustration that has kept him from reporting to work at his new place of employment. And it remains to be seen whether he ever will. That's reported by Florio on Pro Football Talk, according to a source.
So. League source. That's interesting. Now, I don't, as much as I love Pro Football Talk, I still put them on a different level than if that report occurred on ESPN.com. I still think they report things with maybe less than...
Pro Football Talk does?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I believe it most of the time, but
that does add a whole new wrinkle in it.
No question.
You know, if the player...
A couple different wrinkles.
...is thinking, okay, they're working on something for me, and then all of a sudden you get a call, I've been traded. Well, wait a minute, before I go, I want to clear this up.
And it might be... have as much to do about intentions. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe Eugene Parker was trying to squeeze every penny out of whatever that extension may or may not have been, and Seymour wanted to sign his retirement deal. Maybe he wanted to be here for the next 4 years and call it a career.
Beautiful. Now, I don't know. I'm assuming that Seymour has a pretty good relationship with Eugene Parker.
Or did.
But somehow, if the Patriots could spin Parker as the bad guy, if this thing blows up and Seymour comes back, that would be good for the Patriots. You know, that there's this other person that screwed this up, Richard, you know, but come on back, play.
Well, can you take him back? I mean,
is that what you want to happen?
No, I'm saying that would be best case scenario if the trade didn't go through.
Oh, yeah, if it blows up and it's because of Eugene Parker, it's all his fault, sure.
Right.
You know, you were negotiating in good faith. He screwed it up.
No.
You want Richard. Richard wants you.
What I want to happen is Richard goes to the Raiders. We get the first round pick, and let's play football. That's what I want to happen. But worst case.
It'd be funny, though, to see your thing come true, because a lot of the stuff that we were talking about, the analysis that we were listening to yesterday, it'd be funny to listen to all those people backtrack if Richard was suddenly a part of the Patriots again.
Right.
And not only that, but it was learned
good
to
thing
be,
we got him back.
Learned to be true. That Bill wanted to re-sign
him. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, if that report is accurate, so now all of a sudden, this guy who was diminishing his playing time and going to be a rotational player, well, Belichick obviously thought that he wanted to be a rotational player for the next 4 years or whatever.
Okay. So now
be funny.
But now, let's make it even more complicated. Let's just say that this rumor that we've just read has legs. You're Vince Wilfork. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. They told me that they're not negotiating right now, that they're not doing these types of deals. So,
what types of deals?
Well, anything, you know, more than a moderate sized deal.
But maybe it was a very team friendly retirement contract. Well, I want to be a Patriot. I'm Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah,
I don't want to go anywhere else.
If I'm Vince Wilfork, I want that explained to me.
Right.
I think
this is the only way that you can easily, if the trade falls apart, bring him back into the locker room.
Right.
Bring him back into the team.
Right.
Because his understanding was he was nailing down the final pieces of a retirement contract in New England. His agent was telling a different tune to different sides, kind of talking out of both sides of his mouth. This wasn't me. I always wanted to be here. I was one of you guys, whatever. That's the only way you can kind of get him back in the locker room. I don't think it's any. I still think he ends up a Raider.
I do too. I think that eventually.
Think that hurts. If the Raiders get jerked around here a little bit, I know they're just the Raiders. I think it hurts you a little bit as a team for future dealings with 31 other franchises. Now you could potentially be some kind of pawn in some big circus, and I know it'll be spun on Eugene Parker, but the Patriots, to some degree, are part of it too.
But I would also say, no, I understand
what
your point
is. They dealt in good faith. What do they do?
I just think you end up looking bad too.
Why?
Wait a minute, did you just say they dealt in good faith, underhandedly?
No, I said they dealt. They didn't deal underhandedly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said they dealt in good faith underhandedly.
No.
But how does it blow up then? Then I don't understand.
How does the deal blow up?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't.
Just because Seymour thought he was re-signing there, if he's traded, he's traded. He becomes a Raider.
Right. See, but that's what.
Doesn't matter what you thought were doing.
What Florio
Your agent
wrote,
didn't
if that's
do it.
The way it actually came out, I'm going to side with that. I mean, you know what, Richard? Again,
it's
love
business.
The guy. But that's life. You thought you had a deal. You didn't have a deal. Obviously, it wasn't signed.
Right.
And they decided to trade you.
But Richard could be saying the things that he has to work out with the Patriots is go back and say, well, what was this deal that you were working out with Eugene?
But that's irrelevant.
You know, maybe
now.
I want that.
But it's too late.
Right.
You're a Raider now.
Well, maybe
we'll talk to you in a year after you play out the season in Oakland.
But maybe the player is saying
that's
now.
Collusion
maybe the player is going to make his own agent the bad guy. Say, well, he never even told me. I would have accepted that.
But,
you know?
But the other issue here is if he's a Raider, if he's the property of the Raiders. Any conversation he has with the Patriots is tampering.
No, I understand that.
Right?
Now,
because what if that conversation takes place and the Patriots go, we'll give it to you. Just play out the season in Oakland. We'll bring you back next year.
Now, at this point, they can't do that.
He's not a Patriot. Right. Now it's tampering.
But there is an out for both, you know, for Seymour.
What a circus this is.
And the Patriots. If
That's
they can
why
both,
I said I really don't understand if, all the different if the, ramifications.
If the Patriots and Seymour both are willing to make Eugene Parker the bad guy,
everything could be, you know, nice and happy again if it had to be that the deal couldn't be
until Eugene Parker sues both of them for making him look bad and hurting his future business.
Right. Well, I don't know. It's weird.
It's a soap opera.
Yeah. And once again, it comes a week before the season.
Well, that's what I was thinking in the press conference. Last time you escorted a key defensive player out the door right before playing the Bills, it didn't work out.
Well, eventually it did. So
right, but not immediately.
I'll take that end result.
Well, yeah.
But will you take it Monday night? No, you won't.
I won't. It's you know.
We'll have to edit the blog. There'll be F-bombs everywhere throughout that thing.
They better not be playing the Bills post game anywhere near me. Last time I had to have
Turn that off.
Okay, we got emails?
When Fred yelled at the Buffalo Bills bus driver.
Have we made it a full hour without an email?
It's 104. All right, Brent writes in, I think the Seymour situation is different than a player failing a physical, as I doubt that a player can void a trade by not showing up. I think that's what happens. I think that what happens is that the Raiders are the ones who have to say he did not report. They own his rights until he fails the physical. I think that he is just trying to sit out for a new contract with the Raiders. I think the league should tell Seymour he's a Raider and needs to report for the physical, or he will need to be placed on the fail to report list of the Raiders, and they will then control him again next year.
That's not fair.
Why?
If I'm the Raiders, I say that's not fair.
No, because they lost the first round pick.
Right,
right. Yeah.
That's not fair.
I know. I know it's a business and the players don't get what they want, but they sign the contract that can be traded. They need to live up to that or they get nothing.
I agree with that.
But that's a different a different argument.
But if you're the Raiders
and the guy won't
you
come,
get hosed.
Yeah, you can't make it mandatory.
And the league can't allow set a precedent for that. You can't allow players to decide, oh, I'm not going, so the trade falls.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I don't. I mean, it's not fair to the Raiders to do it that way. The Raiders would have to give them the do not report thing, and then all of a sudden they lose the player and the.
So it doesn't matter if he's their property for the next 5 years. They've already given up the.
So I don't know what the rules are there. It's
I think they can void the trade if he doesn't show up. That's what I read in Oakland papers. So that's clearly the thought process out there. There was an Oakland paper that said if Seymour does not show up, they can void the trade.
So now any player can just say, I'm not.
That ain't
traded.
Right either.
That's not right either.
Kick him out of the league.
So there has to be consequences.
For Seymour, kick him out of the league.
Exactly.
Kick him out of the league.
You
signed a contract. That's tradable.
There are consequences. The guy doesn't get paid. That's what prevents most people from doing this.
Right.
But we just said he's got $60 million in the bank.
Most people want to get their money, and
he wants to walk away.
They might not like going to Oakland, but they do it because there's money involved.
Suspend him indefinitely.
Mark in the UK says, "Hope everyone's well. I'm busting for the start of the new season. Just thought I'd give you some reaction from this side of the pond. From listening to Belichick and Nick Caserio, there seems to be not a lot of goodwill towards Richard Seymour." Has there been some goings on between Seymour in the past behind the scenes that may have soured relationships between the two parties?
Well, football stuff. I mean, last year when he was talking about not being on the field on third downs, and I thought you had your best players on the field and it's the money down and all that. And then even dating back to that Jaguars game where he didn't play in the first half and the Jags were moving the ball up and down the field and then he sauntered out there when they needed him. And I've always thought there was a little bit of a differing view on certain issues between Seymour and the coaching staff.
Yeah.
But I haven't noticed any real animosity.
No, and even yesterday.
Right now.
Yesterday,
I think they just refused to talk about Seymour because under the guise of he's Oakland right
now. No, I think there would be some animosity because clearly Belichick decided this trade was good. He wants the 2011 first-round pick, and if you screw that up, Seymour, I'll be mad.
Yeah. The fact that Seymour hasn't yet reported into the Raiders, does it have any effect on the trade? Could the trade be canceled somehow?
Yes.
If Seymour and the Raiders didn't reach an agreement, what an opportunity for Brayson Pryor. Which one of these guys sees the most playing time this year, barring injuries?
I would think Brace. But,
yeah. I would too. But
Seymour has in a lot of circles been touted as a surefire Hall of Famer. The fact that he has been to 5 Pro Bowls, do you guys agree with this already, or will that honor still hinge on his performance levels for the remainder of his career?
I don't think he's a surefire.
He's not a surefire Hall of
Famer. I think he's in the conversation.
And the hard thing for him, and this was when he was in the midst of going all those Pro Bowls and being named to all those All Pro teams. He's not a guy who's going to accumulates a lot of numbers.
No,
even now he's only I think like 6th or 7th in the career.
There's no way
for the Patriots.
I would put him in the Hall of Fame right now. Patriots, yes.
Oh, yeah. The Patriots Hall of Fame is
not
a lot.
And that might be some of the stuff he's thinking about, because if you stay in New England, the whole story, you win another title. Now you're seen as the foundation of a defense that won four titles, blah, blah, blah. That helps your Hall of Fame stature.
Sure.
That would play into that whole he thought he was signing his retirement contract.
But he would have to do more, I think, at this point to get to the Hall of Fame.
I agree.
If he's back tomorrow, Fred says, surefire Hall of Famer.
You might as well waive the period now. Waive the grace period.
Let's see. Alejandro from Bogota says, hello, Fred, Paul, Andy, and Eric. Let's keep it short. One, good call on The Hangover, Fred. Your record as a movie recommender is now 1-1, Life Aquatic. By the way, who knew Heather Graham's nipples were so brown? I don't know. Did you see The Hangover?
No, but I saw a B-movie a few years ago where she was naked every other scene, and she's phenomenal.
Yeah, great movie. Did you see The Hangover, Paul?
I still haven't seen it, no. I want to see it.
I was disappointed.
I like your boobs.
It was on the hotel.
I did it!
This weekend at the wedding, it was on the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view, or should I just say pay-per-view?
The pay-per-view.
And I wanted to watch it, but it wouldn't work.
Oh, maybe there's a control over that, you know. Child.
Shouldn't I be the one who sets the control? I am the
guy.
No,
your wife should.
I'm the one who paid for the damn room.
Yeah, an adult should. Fred's right.
Two, when Vinatieri left, there was a picketer at Gillette Stadium. Any picketers this time around? I haven't seen any.
I haven't seen any picketers, no.
No.
That guy might have died.
Yeah, that guy's probably moved out.
How does the Seymour move compare to Lawyer Malloy's move in 2003?
I don't think there are a lot of similarities other than the
obvious, Bills are playing.
You're playing the Bills and it's right before the season.
Malloy's was a straight release because they had to get
cap
under,
dump.
Yeah, they had to
it
get under
forced.
The cap,
it was a cap
number,
dump. They had to do it.
You know, that Friday. This is different. This is to get some value for somebody.
Now, the spin is similar.
Well, that's another huge thing, is they got a lot of value in return.
Right. And the spin is similar. Both couldn't play after they were removed.
That is not
the WEEI said he was a rotational player.
I don't care what
they're saying. Rotational player with diminished playing time ahead.
But even Fred hasn't done
that. I'm not even going to come close to comparing.
I didn't say you. I said just in general, the spin.
Lawyer Malloy's diminished skills to what Seymour could do this year.
But some were going down that road yesterday.
Lawyer Malloy had diminished skills. And it's
were
amazing.
They not were they going down that road yesterday?
Who's
going
to sign
him? Seattle. He's on Seattle.
He's on
unbelievable.
Seattle
because it was really messed up.
Kind of
you
a backup.
Tape on this guy. Jet. Try to tackle.
Have you seen Brandon Merriweather try to tackle?
Yeah, but at least he gets there.
Because he's a Patriot.
I'm a player.
How do you?
As soon as he leaves, it'll be. Have you seen Brandon Merriweather try to tackle?
We can't just look at it and say the guy was done in 2003 and he's still in the league in 2009, and maybe we were wrong.
No, we're not. How do you see the Patriots improving their abysmal third down and red zone defense this year?
I have no idea. Right now, I really don't. I said on the TV show, every single position on the defense to me right now is a question mark. I don't know what they're doing, how good they're going to be.
The nose tackle is pretty solid.
If he plays nose tackle,
if he's
over a guard, I don't know what he's doing. If he's trying to shoot the gap, if he's going back to Miami days, if he's baby sap again, who knows?
I am pretty confident in Wilfork, Warren.
He's all fired up.
Mayo.
I don't know what the defense is.
What?
Oh, wait, yeah. Make
I'm
that
pretty
10
confident
spots. I got Jimmy.
Wilfork, Warren, Mayo, and Sanders. I pretty much know what I'm going to get out of those
so
four.
Four out of 11.
I got one. Sanders.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's everything but Patriots.com.
Thomas,
you're not sold on Thomas? Adalis Thomas.
Okay, we're up to five.
So that's five.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on what position are they playing? Middle linebacker, inside linebacker?
If he plays inside, I won't be sold on him. I'm assuming he's either going to be outside in a 4-3 or outside in a 3-4. Either way, I'm okay with him.
Is Mayo a tackling machine or a playmaker?
Let's see. And finally, are the Steelers still the team to beat in the AFC?
To any Steeler fans listening, you all suck.
Wow.
I'll tell you what worries me about the Steelers,
Freddie.
The Rook
and the Queen.
Yeah.
It's their schedule. It's very easy.
Very easy schedule.
They play the AFC West and the NFC North. Neither one of those two divisions is very good. I think Baltimore's better, and I think those will be two wars, but they always are.
Yeah.
I think they probably should beat Cincinnati and Cleveland.
Yeah.
I don't really see a lot of losses. Much like when I look at the Patriots and I look at Tom Brady and Randy Moss and Wes Welker, I don't see a lot of losses there.
Right.
I look at Pittsburgh, I don't see a lot of losses.
Tell you what should be worrying you. Heinz Field, AFC title game.
Well, that's
Willie Parker, 3 yards. Rashard Mendenhall, 7 yards. Willie Parker, 4 yards. Rashard Mendenhall, 7 yards.
Fumble.
They're questioning Mendenhall. The fans
fumble.
Are questioning
Fumbling.
Mendenhall.
Fumbling.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Don't worry about it.
Fumbleitis. Fumbleia.
There's a guy that you want to build a wing in the museum for named Kevin Falk, who used to have those issues.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Is that wrong? So, is that wrong, Paul?
So in 7 years, when he becomes a good third down back, then I'll say you were right.
No, but seriously...
Falk used to have those
issues.
The
poster child for me for the Richard Seymour trade is if you match up with the Steelers in a title game and can't stop the run, and they just run it down your throat.
But what worries me beyond the on-paper stuff that Andy's talking about with Seymour is the fact that you could be a very good team, and I think San Diego and Pittsburgh, I definitely don't think San Diego's as good as the Patriots. Pittsburgh, I think, is on par with the Patriots. I think they have an excellent defense where the Patriots have an excellent offense. I think those three teams can be very good, and I think those other two teams benefit from an easier schedule.
I put Ravens right in there.
I think the Ravens are very good, too, yeah. But I worried about not getting a first-round bye, and I think back to 06 where you have to make this trip to San Diego in the divisional round. You get sick, you get tired, and you go to Indy, and you're out of gas.
They pump in the music.
They make it all hot and stuff. They
turn up the heat.
They spiked your Gatorade with the flu.
Pelion, makes it louder in there, and turns up the heat, and all of a sudden –
Yep.
You blow a 21-3 lead.
Right.
That's what worries me, is having a road that's hotter than it needs to be to get to the Super Bowl.
He was blowing in flu viruses in the vents in the hotel.
This year it could be H1N1.
And he made sure that all of their guys got shots during the game, so they weren't affected by it.
LT in Adelaide says, my first question is in relation to the team dynamic now that Seymour's gone. How do you think the players now think about the organization after a move such as this?
Ask Tom Jackson.
Is it more along the lines of, I never know when my last game for the Patriots may be, I should work 100% hard, or is it, why should I bother with an organization that is going to dump me whenever I want some more money? I think that these moves build an environment that says team first. Bill says you do what I tell you to do, and you can see that image in past accolades mean nothing. Case in point, Richard Seymour, Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law, Deion Branch, and to a certain extent, Asante Samuel.
I totally disagree with that. I think
these guys know the deal.
The players are about themselves to a large extent, and I think that they need to be in between those two lines of thinking there. Because if you're looking at it and saying, no matter what I do, they're going to get rid of me anyway, that's not good for a player. And, I have to do whatever they tell me to do, that's not going to work either. There's been plenty of guys that have done everything that they've told them to do, and they've gone.
Right.
Because that's what the way Belichick puts it together. What did Mike Vrabel do to Bill Belichick? You know, there's a lot of guys that when they get to a point where he doesn't see the value as being where he wants it, he makes tough decisions. And no one has had a better track record at pulling the plug at the right time than Bill does.
Yep.
But it is interesting that these came right after, 2 weeks after Hobbs was talking about, it happened before me, I was the next in line, it happened long, played in there.
And a lot of people think he was talking about Seymour. I don't, but a lot of people
do. But I thought Brady said it yesterday, is the team goals and the individual don't always marry up, and the team comes first. And when you have a quarterback saying that, I just think we make too much of that, I think. They want to win. They're going to do what they're told. Yep. 99% of the players not named Brandon Marshall are going to do what they've done their entire career, which is show up for practice, do what they're told to do at practice, leave when they're told to, lift when they're told to, because that's what you do as a human being. You do your job and you go home.
Yeah, I mean, Seymour didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Seymour was entering the last year of his contract.
And that's Bill's going to do what all coaches do. If the guy helps me win on Sunday or Saturday or Friday night starting in high school, he's going to play, and I'm going to probably do some things differently if he's a superstar player than I would do if he was a JAG special teamer, because that's how all coaches do it, because they want to win.
LT also says a quick game of over-under. Richard Seymour stays in Oakland 1.5 years.
Over-under.
Under.
Zero is under.
Adalys Thomas, 9.5 sacks.
Over.
Under.
Ooh.
Chris Baker, 35.5 receptions.
Under.
Under.
Yes.
Okay. Total Patriots rushing TDs, 12.5.
Over.
Over.
Average points per game allowed, 24.5.
Under.
Under.
Why isn't the whole PFW gang allowed on Patriots Today? Mr. Perillo provides great insight. I think that the including the trio of Mr. Hart, Mr. Kirsch, and Mr. not Miss or Mrs. Scalavino on Patriots Today would be the best video show going around, unlike what B-Lo does, but Christina is good. Just for the point, Paul raised, if Pierre Woods struggled throughout the preseason, who is the starter opposite AD? Keep up the great work. Love the show. And it's awesome that we get PFW. About time you guys are back 3 times a week.
Well, I think either way, the starter opposite AD, especially in a four-man front, is Gary Guyton.
Gary Guyton.
Yeah. He's been the starter. I mean, he's been playing a lot.
No question.
Now, I question it because you know how I feel about it, but that's the way it is.
But I think they're going to be in 4-3s. And I think Pierre Woods is a non-factor, which is the point that I brought up. You missed the game, Andrew. I mean, he played wire to wire Thursday
the whole
night
game
against the Giants, Pierre Woods, after not playing really at all against the Redskins the week before. That tells me he's not a huge part of the defensive package.
Right.
You know why? Ninkovich, my Ninky.
Ninkovich was out there wire to wire Thursday.
Well, that's but they're different. You know, the paths are crossing, right, but they're crossing in different directions.
Yeah,
that's what you need to understand.
And depth today is not the same as depth in November. You know, you pick a date, and whatever.
Transformation is complete for him. The Mike Vrabel,
right.
He got the number.
He's number
today.
50.
He's
now,
number
right.
Same locker, same number, same look.
They even
same
call
history.
Him. Don't they call him Vrabel 2?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know about Vrabel 2, but hey, Mike Vrabel's here, as some people say. I mean, the players have noticed it as much as anybody. I mean, the guy does it all.
If
played
he can play
tight
as
end
as well as Mike Vrabel.
But,
we're in good shape.
I mean, even down to he played tight end at Purdue and caught some touchdown passes in a limited role as an extra tight end.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary. I said to him in the locker room, I said, "Now all you need is that 12.5 sack all pro season."
Well, I think Vrabel is he as smart as Vrabel? We don't know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that was part of Vrabel's strength is he's just field awareness. He was smart. He wasn't the fastest guy. He wasn't the strongest guy, but he was rangy.
He
was
did
smart.
Everything well.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything really great.
I'm just kidding, by the way. I don't have any expectation that Rob Ninkovich is going to be.
No, I know.
All Vrabel, but I don't think he might play.
I think he
can play inside and out. And right now,
yeah, I think he's an intriguing guy.
I think there's a chance. Maybe a little fullback.
And especially if they end up
tight end.
Not liking what goes on and with 4-3s and they want to do more 3-4, I think there's an opportunity for him to play.
Kind of looks like one. A little shorter than the ideal that Bill puts out there, but.
Mike and Charlotte, I hate to say I told you so, but last week when I said trade Seymour, you all thought I was crazy.
You said trade him to Denver for David Harris.
I wasn't here.
I think it was. I shouldn't make fun of this email, but someone asked if we would trade him to Denver for David Harris, and we all said no way.
There was no way they were.
There's a difference there.
There was no way they were going to sign him and all the other free agents. So get something for him and move on. Also, I don't think Belichick likes the fact that he comes into camp looking great because it's a contract year and then goes back to less than full speed once he gets a new deal, which is what he did last time. I know a lot of players do it, but I think this really ticks BB off, and he was not going to let him do it again. Bill also trades down or out of the first round because he won't pay mega bucks to a guy that hasn't played it down. This pick may have a rookie cap on it, and that would allow him to use it or trade it. P.S. I also told you that the 4-3 was here to stay and looks more like that's going to be the case.
Boy, this guy brings bragging to a whole new level.
and off-base bragging, too. I mean, unless you want to doubt Bill Belichick and what he said in the press conference today about always being multiple and intending to be so. Moving forward. He said that today.
Word.
So put that in your 4-3 pipe and smoke it.
Ooh, Paul's angry at, what was that guy's name, Mike?
I'm not angry at Mike. Maybe it's the tone that Fred read it in.
Well, I think he was trying to convey the tone he perceived coming through the
Fred.
Email.
But I'll tell you something, though, that I really didn't like about that email. This whole notion that Richard Seymour went in the tank after he signed the contract, what happened to Richard Seymour? I mean, he had 3 years, 4 years, 3 Super Bowls, 3 Pro Bowls, and 2 All-Pros, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that.
Sure.
And then in 2005, what happened, Andy? Week 3 or 4, to be specific.
He got hurt playing goal line fullback?
Never was the same. This is the guy who supposedly doesn't want to do all the team things, was playing goal line fullback, right? Is that not a team thing? Like Russ Hochstein was doing last year?
It's fun.
So your all-pro defensive end had no problem doing it. The guy who's not the team guy?
It's fun.
Yeah, and he tore up his knee, and he was never the same since. But everybody thinks he just went in the tank like because he got his money, he got fat and happy.
No.
I don't think that's fair.
He was also criticized a lot for not wanting to be here the whole off season, not wanting to be part of the off season program.
But, yeah, and I don't care about that. But much I'm like just saying, Tom Brady didn't want to be a part of it.
And everybody's okay with it except Andy Hart. No one criticizes the quarterback for that.
Right, and I'm okay with that. These guys spend enough time a year here. But if Tom Brady doesn't want to be here, I'm fine with it. And he hasn't been here the last 2 years.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now is Swig. Swig, how you doing?
Fred Kirsch, the Cadillac smells of fried dough and Diet Pepsi. I'd shake your hand, but I'm not sure where you've been. Guys, how you doing? I'm a big fan.
Good stuff.
Good to hear you, Swig.
Over, under on the amount of time I'll wait on hold, 25 minutes.
Over. Go over.
Definitely take the
under.
Over.
It's just under.
Just under. You got lucky.
Fred Kirsch, I got a bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh.
We're going to step back from the Seymour talk for a second.
Yeah.
You're so full of poop. And the same reason that I love you is the reason that you drive me crazy.
Yes.
Ty Law
yeah.
was to the Patriots' defense for all three of those Super Bowls what Tom Brady was to the offense. There's no disputing it. I'm sorry. Every big game throughout the season, in the playoffs, this guy... Remember when they were like, Ty doesn't play one side, he takes the best receiver. How many times...
Swig, don't bother with this one because...
Ridiculous.
He doesn't play on the Patriots anymore. Don't you understand?
I don't understand. Where's this coming from? Where's all this...
I've been stewing about this for days since I listened to the podcast.
What did I say something? That...
You might have said something.
Yeah, you said Ty Law, I think, doesn't belong in the Patriots Hall of Fame. The last show that we had.
Wait a minute.
There was four guys.
We ordered it.
And you said that you didn't think Ty Law belonged in the Hall of Fame.
No. We were talking about what order would... No. We were talking about what order would they go in, and I said I wouldn't put Ty Law in first.
No, no. Here was the main thing.
You
said
if he goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you wouldn't retire his number.
Right.
Oh, that's different. Retiring numbers.
Even if he goes in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. So don't deny that you said it.
But that has nothing to do with what Swig said.
Yes, it is.
I'm not denying that
you
he had
you think he wasn't a great Patriot.
Look, Mike Vrabel was an integral part of, you know, all the Patriots Super Bowls, but I wouldn't put his number up. You know, it's I have a very high standard.
But I'm talking about Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's the highest standard you can
get. All
right.
Get. Well,
you
maybe,
can't get
maybe
a higher standard
just playing
than
the role of Fred Kirsch and just kind of poo-pooing him a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yes.
I mean – if you go back and watch those seasons where the Patriots became the Patriots that won the three Super Bowls, I mean, there was almost nobody on that defense they leaned on harder.
Yeah, absolutely. Belichick put him in perfect positions to succeed.
You got to love Fred.
He has an answer for everything. That's why you have to love him.
That's why I can't miss an episode. All right, I want to say a couple quick things, and I'll get out of here. First of all,
I like that they call them episodes.
I realized the last couple times I called that I never said, if Gary's listening, I miss you. I hope your life is going well. We all miss you. Not the doc's not doing a great job. You could do without the two-gender guy, but that's all right.
Wow.
my dad moved back to Massachusetts. He's in Cape Cod, so if he's listening, I hope he's having a fun time.
Yeah, he chimed in a couple of weeks
ago.
Yeah,
he's full of nonsense.
Yeah.
He did send me a picture, though. He stayed at a hotel where they had soap with a slot, Fred.
What? Really?
Yeah, but it's different. It's like it was supposed to be like... environmentally friendly, so you don't wind up wasting that little piece in the middle. So it's not that you put the soap back in there. But, so I was going to send it to you.
So somebody really had done it already. Wow.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
With a slide.
And they did it without a prototype.
True story.
Wow.
What was the last? Oh, and the last thing is with the Richard Seymour deal, and, you know, you can argue about it until you're blue in the face, but as a Patriots fan, I got to love it with my head, and I hate it with my heart. You know, it's hard. You'd want to see everybody have the kind of career like Bruschi had, being able to play, or Troy Brown, hopefully a guy like Kevin Falk, you know, being able to...
Right.
Part of being a fan is that you like these guys. You know, it's the whole argument, you're rooting for the uniform, you're rooting for, you know, and most of us become fans because that's where we were born, and that's what you watched growing up, or that's what your parents like. You know, I mean, there was no choice that I was going to be a Red Sox fan. I was born, that was it, it's done. But when you get to watch a guy get drafted, develop, become part of championship teams, obviously you have a special fondness for them. And, you know, so it's hard, especially because Seymour was, I'm with Paul. I mean, he takes a lot of flack for this, that, whatever. Guy always seemed like he gave 100% to me. Not to mention, I'm sure he's got a bone to pick with Belichick after that whole thing with his father passing away and him getting benched for not being there for practice and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, Andy was talking about that earlier.
Yeah, I mean, the guy. What more do you want from a guy than what Richard Seymour gave to the team? At the same time, Andy's whole point about being great for the next 10 years or whatever, as a fan, I have to say, okay, this definitely hurts us right now. It may wind up costing us a lot this year. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what the defense does. But at least we know either they're going to next year maybe use that pick to trade to get another pick this year, you know, in this draft.
It's
or
currency.
2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, so obviously it's not easy. You got to make some of these. I mean, look, when Lauren Malloy was cut, I was out of my mind. I was driving home. I heard it on the radio. I was like, no, that's not even possible. Come on, right? Yeah. It seemed to work out okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you got to sacrifice. I mean, I would really hate – I'd have to say that, honestly, Vince Wilfork is my favorite guy on the team. You know, he's from Boynton Beach. He went to the same high school I did. He just seems to be a great guy. I'd hate to see him go. Hopefully, maybe this clears up some money. They can re-sign him in Mankins or, you know, a couple of the players we need. But it's a tough one. It got some people talking. That's for sure.
Well, Swig, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Always. Thanks for doing a good job.
The best Christopher Walken impression on the internet radio.
On Patriots.com radio.
On any Patriots-related internet radio show.
Boo frickity-hoo.
Back from practice. And
Winko.
With grass stains on his pants is... he just fell down. He slipped. Eric is back. Eric, how you doing?
I was better before I got in here.
Already he's back.
Not me. No, I'm mad at him.
Oh, yeah. Why? So what? Fill us in, Eric.
Practice we have an incomplete practice report because, as predicted in the locker room, Andy, when we saw the offensive jerseys, which are throwback jerseys in anticipation of this legacy game,
right?
Offense had red shirts with no numbers.
Right.
Helmets with no numbers.
So it was difficult to take attendance.
So it was very difficult to take attendance. We can tell you with certainty who wasn't there on defense. I'm going to do the bad news part for you, Andy, because I know last time we did this, you said
leave
you
me on a high.
Richard Seymour wasn't there.
Yeah, that's okay. Correct, Fred. Right. Richard Seymour was not there. Well, he's full of it today.
The guy in Oakland is saying the same thing as well.
Yeah.
He's nowhere.
Nancy Gay.
Slater, Wheatley, and Pryor.
Slater, Wheatley, and Pryor.
We're not there. That's on
Slater
defense.
Slater to be expected, but
right.
Well, Wheatley got hurt in the Giants. That was the Giants game, but no, the end of the Washington game. It's the end of the Washington.
Oh, Wheatley.
Game.
Yes. Correct. On offense, there were about eight guys that the consensus among the media contingent was that we didn't see them. We've asked our friends in PR if they would check in with the football ops people later and give us confirmation one way or the other.
To which the answer
no,
was
they
no.
Wrote it down. They said they would try.
Although, was there an injury report today or tomorrow with the Monday night game?
I think tomorrow.
Okay, so
because the Thursday night game started a couple, like everything is related to the game time.
Oh.
Well, that's right. There's a game tomorrow night.
Yes.
No, so everybody has to do.
I thought everybody
I believe
had
it's
to,
related to when your game is.
Monday night game, I think it might be Thursday, Friday, Saturday instead of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
I don't know.
Although Bill did say today was a regular season Wednesday.
Right, so that's why I was expecting
it was Monday.
Expecting
Tuesday.
One of those.
It's not Wednesday.
Good news, though. Welker was out there again.
How'd you know?
Springs was out
there.
Was
it Welker
again.
Or was it Edelman?
No, I looked with my binoculars. It was Welker. Edelman might have been out there, too. He's one of the guys on our list that we don't know for sure if was out there
He's
or not.
He's on the list.
Was there another guy that looked a lot like Welker, short, white receiver?
I only saw one, and I know it was Wes Welker because I looked at him through my binoculars. I looked at his face through the binoculars. One of our other
deep
friends.
Into his eyes. That's the Wes Welker I know.
One of our other friends in the media claims he saw Edelman but then wasn't sure later.
Friend
so.
Or not really friend?
He's a friend.
Oh,
yeah.
Which one?
From the Globe.
Are you guys surprised that Slater didn't get cut?
Yes.
I shocked, actually.
I was surprised, not that he didn't get cut, but that injury that he looked like he suffered the other night.
Didn't get him
serious.
On IR.
Wasn't serious enough for IR.
Yeah.
Or even PUP.
But
I mean, they cut Greg.
Regardless of what we say about Slater, they obviously value him a lot more because he's on every special team.
He's a good gunner. He gets down there fast.
Yeah.
He does. Half the time he runs into the guy who called fair catch or runs into some other guy. But
I just look at it.
It's a ball on the ground. He kicks it to the other team.
It didn't seem like they got away from having as many of those guys around this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but maybe they need
and for
a couple.
To have him have survived that to me was surprising. Now, I thought he was going to make it based on what I was watching in the preseason.
Terrence Nunn's mom was not happy, though.
No, I know. We got an angry SPFW, Fred, from Terrence Nunn's mom.
Really?
No, not really.
No, not really.
No, but it was signed.
It wouldn't be the first time that we've been emailed by a player relative.
She signed it, Terrence Nunn's mom.
Oh.
So I'm pretty sure it wasn't her.
The last piece of good news, the guy we haven't seen for almost all of training camp, Sean Springs, was out there in uniform, full pads.
Oh, that's good.
I figured that. He had a long talk today with the media.
Sweet.
Early in the open locker room period. He's a really, really good guy. I said to Andy when I left that, I really hope that he pans out here because he's a good guy to talk to.
Is he going to be Randy Moss? Just miss the whole preseason, come out and be like all over the field breaking up passes to T.O.?
That would be nice.
Who was it that made that car analogy with him? I forget who I was talking to about this, but they were saying how, you know, some players are just dependable. They're like Hondas, and you know you can put them out there.
Except
and
your Honda.
They're going to do whatever you need them to do. And then there are other guys that are kind of like Lamborghinis, and at the high end, they can do all these special things, but they require so much more service. Sean Springs is one of those guys, the guy who was making this analogy to me.
Lamborghini?
Who forgets. Sean Springs is like a Lamborghini. He's
ridiculously
talented and can do a lot of things, but requires a lot of maintenance. And
you read all that stuff.
The
Redskins week, right? We're joking about Sean Springs and other corners that are on the team now not being on the field. And what did Springs rub off on you? And like it was a running joke in Washington.
Yeah.
Anything else, Eric?
Not really.
We should note that they're not throwback jerseys. They're red. They have Patriots logos on them. They don't have Pat Patriot on them. They have...
They're red jerseys.
Oh, the practice jerseys. Yeah. The game jerseys will be throwback jerseys. The practice ones are just the red shirts with the Elvis logo on
the sleeve. And they even had
the
white
sleeve.
Pants today with the red and blue...
and they
almost
have the
like the 1985.
Those are like the 85 pants, actually.
That's why I wasn't sure that those were going to be the same pants they wear in games.
I got a feeling Reebok's going to screw this up.
Ask him today at 4 on the Shop Talk. Right. What is it? Shop Talk?
Shop Talk. Yeah. At 4. Oh, that reminds me.
Are you going to be on
the I understand we had some technical difficulties
like
to start the show off. So
you like to talk.
If you missed the first 20 minutes of the show.
We should have our own show called
Christina's there,
Shop
so we can go and hang out with her.
It's unbelievable.
Whatever, you're going to miss it again. No, if you missed the first 20 minutes of the show, I just want to remind
that
people that
fault.
Today at 4 o'clock is the premiere of Shop Talk, hosted by Christina Acra, and including... guys that work in the pro shop here. So it's I think it's going to be better than it sounds. Paul's laughing.
God, I hope so.
Why don't you put Eric on with him and make it girl talk?
that was good.
Is the only useless person here.
Yeah, how come Flanders isn't on?
He's the only useless person.
I don't know.
Here.
He actually doesn't work in the building anymore.
Yeah,
he works about 10 miles away.
I know. That's a big time. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Was good. He was good for various
off-target
gossip.
If
like
people don't.
Who was the guy that was here that day?
Garen Veris.
No, it was
Garen Erlacher,
but he thought it was Erlacher.
Now, if people don't know, Flanders has worked here since they had the throwback uniform, since they were actually and if to picture Flanders, if you ever watch the old Andy Griffith show, Floyd the Barber, that's Ken Flanders. And he just sits outside his barbershop and talks all day. That's what he does.
Is that why he was moved off site?
Possibly.
Focus a little more on his job.
Well, you know, there's you know, three ways of getting word out. There's telephone, telegraph, and tell Flanders.
I think you've used that before on this show. Wasn't through that time either.
The desk of Ken Flanders at
Paul
Perillo.
Question.
Probably
Kendall Simmons.
IL.
Got a signing bonus.
He did?
It was a question.
I don't know.
He did.
Sounded like a statement.
$280,000.
Good for him.
Okay. Who'd have thunk you sign a veteran like the day of the season?
Couldn't
and
round it up to 300? Just, you know, what the hell?
Or down to zero and said, you want a job? Sign. You don't? Don't.
Looks like Shaq, by the way.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And
sounds
talks like
sounds
him, too.
Sounds like him, too.
A three-year deal.
Okay.
Three-year deal he signed?
$280,000 signing bonus. So if you cut him, the dead money would only be $280,000.
All right. Nathan in Southern California writes, and one thing that really impressed me in the preseason is how solid we were defending the run. Do you think we will look as stout against the run if a team tries to run us as we did in the beginning of the preseason with all of this new talent? That's the big question. Without Seymour.
Without Seymour.
Yeah. Also, do you think that our new rookie
how long
talent
has it been since Pryor played?
A couple weeks.
I mean, he had that start.
Pryor
and then
started
petered out after that.
Who did he start against? Was it Philly or was it the
Philly?
Yeah, the first game.
The first game.
And then he didn't play. I don't think he played in either of the next two games.
So he's had a extended dealing with whatever he's dealing with.
Yeah, he's, he
came
and back
for
a couple
part
days,
of the,
was out for a while.
The group that's going to replace Seymour.
Well, that's the
if
thing.
If you listen to EEI.
Once Belichick saw what he can do,
Andy really
he
has
takes
a
him off the field so
EEI.
That there's nothing.
What do I have to lose? They're not going to have me on?
You know, there's very little of him on tape.
Never been on anyway.
So teams can't game.
They call you. You skip shows. Well, that was different.
This is all part of the plan.
Which plan?
Where we come out and no one knows exactly what our defense is like this year.
Well,
he did play against Cincinnati.
That certainly helps, Fred, but I mean.
Pryor's 91, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played against Cincinnati.
All right. Forget the plan.
The other thing, some of the reporters were asking on the conference calls yesterday was about the quarterback situation, the backup quarterback situation, and the fact that they were saying, well, you know, Stanback, the kid that they signed to the practice squad, they're saying, do you feel confident that he's essentially your number three?
Oh,
well, he's not your number three because he's not on the roster. He's on the practice squad. So on game day, he's not even going to factor in.
Well, he could be your number three if that's what you want him to be.
Could be. But
I don't think he is the number three.
Eric's right. You could sign your number three the day after you need him.
No, I think he's a developmental quarterback, but I don't think there's anything that prohibits him from being the number three if he was on the practice squad.
I know, but speaking
of that means
no. But Eric's point is he's no more your number three than name a free agent who's out there right now is. They're both going to have to be signed to the roster the day after.
Right, and someone's going to have to go.
Speaking of that,
you wouldn't need him during a game.
I mean, it was a very crowded media room today. But
when would you need a third quarterback other than in a game?
The number of
the next
dumb
game
questions
after the guy gets hurt.
Right.
That's when you would need him. So you'd sign him then, not in that
game. But
that's
my point. You'd sign whoever it is then.
What I'm saying is
that guy could be playing for the Dubuque.
I agree with
Rough
both
Riders.
Of you that is Isaiah Stanback is not the number three quarterback. Not because he's on the practice squad, just because I don't think he's good enough to be a quarterback yet. He's a developmental prospect. Much like I don't think Brian Hoyer is the number two quarterback right now, but he is actually on the roster. I think if something
really
happens
is,
to
he really
Brady,
is the number two
because
quarterback.
He's the only guy if Brady gets hurt
Brady,
who can play.
There is no way on earth he's starting the following game.
But that's
there's no way on earth he's not the guy not going in. He has to go in because
right.
He's the backup quarterback.
That's a legitimate question.
In my opinion, Isaiah Stanback's the number three quarterback then.
There were a lot of dumb questions.
He can't go
today.
In because he's not on the roster.
Right.
That was my point.
Yeah. You're not going to put him in a game anyway.
If two quarterbacks go down, you need somebody to go in a quarterback.
Hoyer's on the roster. If Brady gets hurt, Hoyer will jog off the sideline, go under Dan Copen's butt, and take the snap.
And if he gets hurt, who goes in?
Edelman.
He hasn't been practicing. Who goes in?
Falk.
Kevin Falk.
I think they would do that even if they had a third quarterback on the roster. There's a possibility they could do that.
But you're saying Hoyer's not the backup. He's the backup. He's got to be the backup.
Whatever. I'm saying if Tom Brady got hurt tomorrow, who plays quarterback Monday night?
I don't know.
In practice, I have no idea.
That's
but
all I'm saying.
On game day,
we're talking
that's
about.
That's all I'm
he's
saying.
He's the backup quarterback. He plays. He goes in. He plays. If it's the first
Monday
play
night,
of the game,
Monday night,
59 minutes and 54 seconds will be Brian Hoyer leading the offense.
Maybe.
Well, unless they pick somebody up.
You're not allowed to do that during games. That's called cheating.
I mean, before the game.
They might try to do something else. Who knows?
You mean put Edelman in there?
Not Edelman. Absolutely no
well,
chance
else
of that.
Who there?
That's might do something unconventional. I don't know. I don't think Brian Hoyer's ready
play
to play quarterback.
All game? We'll just, you know.
No.
Not a good way to win.
What Andy said.
With this defense.
Well, you can score points on defense.
What Andy
said.
Yeah,
you can give up a lot, too, with this defense.
What?
What Andy said. I actually think there's a chance. I mean, now, Hoyer would go in the game. I understand that. But my point is he's not really your best option at backup quarterback. Would you agree with that?
You put Fred on the spot there.
I don't know what other option they have right now.
A.J. Feely, Jeff Garcia.
Oh, obviously, bringing in somebody else. Yes, that would be better.
That's all
so why don't they bring him in if that would be better?
That's my only point. Well, I don't know if they decided what they want to do with that. That's all.
I mean, Feely's out.
Eric, I'm really confused.
I don't understand what's so confusing about the never have been a need to have three quarterbacks in a game in the 10 years that Belichick's been the coach.
Well, we've moved past the three.
But that's
we're
what,
on the
that's
backup quarterback
point.
Right now. And you say they're going to run a different offense. They're going to
no
quarterback.
I said if something happens to Brady.
Did you just say that? I mean,
no,
did I mishear that, Fred?
Unconventional was the word.
I said, yes. I said, there might be something beyond
why is
that.
Brian Hoyer on the roster then?
Maybe they didn't feel like they could put him on the practice squad. I don't know. Maybe they felt like they would lose him. I have no idea.
That says,
I have no idea.
If that's the case, that's three quarterbacks this year. That
I mean, I believe
like
if Brady goes down, you're screwed and just scrap everything,
but
is that really the
somebody
plan?
In there?
My point is only that if something were to happen to Brady, Brian Hoyer's stay as the starting quarterback would last whatever the rest of that game is, and then someone else would play.
Or not at all. You think they might go wildcat
I don't think it would
option
last.
Spread something.
I don't think it would last the whole game, no. If they had a chance to win it, I don't think he would stay in the game.
Who would throw the ball then?
They wouldn't.
Nobody.
I think they would run
He's
it.
He's going all wildcat all the time or something.
That's what I think they would do. I don't think they could possibly have faith in him at being a backup quarterback right now.
Wow.
I don't think they could.
Wow.
Then I think it's even worse that they have only him as the backup quarterback.
But that just tells you how bad the other guys were, because I would totally agree with Bill. He was better than the other two guys they cut, the other three guys they cut. I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, but if
but he's not an NFL quarterback.
If Bill
right
agrees
now.
With you, though, Paul,
oh, you're counting Gutierrez.
They got to bring somebody in today.
Yeah.
I mean, if Bill is thinking the way you think it, they got to bring somebody in.
I don't think it will be
quarterback
too long.
Has a Let's knee and a shoulder way. Injury.
I don't know why it's taking this long.
I don't think
Cleo
it'll be.
Cleo Lemon's still out there?
He's not better than the guy either. He's not better than
You're looking at Feeler or Garcia?
Well, wait a minute.
If Brian Hoyer
is better than Cleo Lemon, I might be okay with him being our second
Cleo quarterback. Lemon can't play. He cannot play.
He has NFL experience. You're saying right now that Brian Hoyer is better than Cleo Lemon? Is he better than A.J. Feely?
Oh, better the world think you a fool than to prove it or whatever?
Right. Yes, Cleo Lemon has proven Hoyer that he can't play. Okay. Hoyer hasn't.
Okay, is A.J. Feely better?
He's not going to be able to because they're running the wild.
Hoyer or A.J. Feely?
It's probably a toss-up.
Then I'm okay with Hoyer being my number two.
You're okay with a fourth-string quarterback.
I'd be okay with A.J. Feely being my number two right now.
But he has never been anything more than a third-string Jag.
He's played games and won games.
No, he hasn't.
A.J. Feely?
He hasn't won anything.
He hasn't?
No.
He's done well against
us. He's played games, and he threw three interceptions against us in that game.
He's done okay. Okay. He's serviceable.
So, okay, you're okay with losing. Then Hoyer's your guy.
Well,
inexperienced
won't
bother you.
Who are you going to pick up now that you can say, we can win with this guy right now?
Eric?
I'm sorry. I was typing.
Fred wants to know who you're going to pick up.
I would pick up Feely. A man.
Well, I would pick up Jeff Garcia. I thought he was going to say Jeff Garcia.
Sorry.
He kind of buttonholed me.
This
spiraled out of control.
No, Jeff Garcia is a viable.
My point about Hoyer.
I would say to pick up Jeff Garcia.
Yeah. Oh, shut up.
My point about Hoyer is only just that I think if something were to happen to Brady, they would not start Hoyer the next game. In that game, okay. The next game, I think they would have to go out and get somebody. And I think Bill would do that.
Yeah.
I don't think Bill would say, I got a 4 or 5 game stretch here. I got to have Hoyer get me. 4 wins here.
Right.
3 wins. No, I don't think he would do that.
I think you're right.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he thinks a lot more than I do.
I can't disagree with you there.
I'm very high on what I saw as an undrafted rookie, but not as a guy to step in and have to play.
But even
I have no desire to see him.
Let's just say Brady goes down, okay? All you're left with is Hoyer.
In the Wildcat.
Even if he's going to be the guy, you're still going to bring in another guy in case
you
Hoyer
should know me better.
That's
than
my
that,
that was my point.
When I exaggerate for a point.
That was my point.
You have to have 2 active.
Well, not if you're just going to run the Wildcat.
You have two, but they do have two.
Even Paul doesn't believe that.
I just said to Andy, by now you should know when I'm exaggerating to make a point. They do have 2 active quarterbacks, but my point is you don't need 3. So whether the third one's on the practice squad or not matters little to me. What does matter to me, what I would totally agree with Eric is, this is a wide receiver from someone else's team.
Well, that's why
they're trying to make a quarterback.
I don't think
he's not a legitimate number 3 quarterback right now. That's a dumb. I totally agree with Eric's premise about the guy. I mean, he's a developmental prospect. He's not a number 3 quarterback right now. Now, maybe at the end of the year, this guy's really made strides. I doubt it, but I don't think he'll be very long on this practice squad. By the way,
he's got the JT O'Sullivan thing going on.
Yeah. He does. Yeah,
I've never seen
a successful
quarterback with dreads.
If they really want to make him a quarterback,
not one.
Because I originally thought when I saw his name as a practice squad guy, that's a Bill type guy. A versatile hybrid athlete that can fill a variety of roles. But
that's not what they have him in there.
They say they want him to be a quarterback.
And in the drills today. When they broke up into positionals, Stanbeck was with Hoyer and Brady at the quarterback.
Stanbeck, you didn't have a number on.
Yes, dreads.
I'm pretty sure it was Stanbeck
and some other distinguishing features.
What?
He's African American.
He's black and they're white.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
let's see.
Why couldn't he come in to run the Wildcat?
He is the number 2 quarterback.
There you go.
Oh God.
Chris with the TIAN says,
Paul, do you know what went into the decision for Brady to not be on the sidelines last year?
Oh, jeez. Stop. Stop.
Strange. Again, goes back to my other comment that was
strangest
you guys
question.
Were yelling. There was a lot of dumb questions today.
Yeah, that was one of
what
them.
What else, though?
Oh, I forget. I mean,
the philosophy about, you know, cutting your losses was a dumb question.
Right.
Well, but that consider the source.
As Bill summarily dismissed.
There were a lot of questions that if you thought about it, you knew that he just wasn't going to answer.
That doesn't mean you can't.
No, I'm not talking about the
like Tom Curran asked 2 excellent
asked.
Questions that would totally
that's
last
not
off.
What I'm talking about.
There was a question.
Bill goes, you got to follow up for that one.
The question that started things off for Brady was about the first game jitters. No problem with that question. That's perfectly legitimate. But somebody asked that same question 3 questions later.
Right.
And I'm saying, pay attention to the people who are asking the questions before you, so you don't look like a moron.
I have to be on tape, so it's my voice on the radio.
But if we operated under the premise, Fred, that I'm not going to ask that question because I have a pretty good idea what Bill's going to say, there would be no questions.
No, but
Fred's saying you have to think about how to phrase it. If you're going to ask a question,
Bill will not be tripped up. You can think about your semantics all you want. He will answer it the same way every time. if it's anything with any kind of meat on it, anything Richard Seymour related, was getting the same answer today.
Regardless of how well you formed it, those are legitimate questions that won't be answered. But they do need to be asked.
But none of the questions that are asked are answered in press conferences.
That's not true.
I'm not really into solving the world's problems.
He offers a lot of answers.
He does.
Not to those type of questions. But to what type of questions?
He gives you a lot of information about football. About the current Patriots, what would he give you a lot of information on?
I think when you ask him about a certain player, he'll tell you his evaluation of the player. He'll never go negative on you, but he'll tell you what he thinks.
So that's not an answer.
No, I've heard him go negative on.
Well, negative to the extent that this guy, like Ornberger, when he missed a bunch of time and then came back, he was like, "Yeah, he's very behind. He's got a lot of catching up to do."
He'll tell you what his scouting report on a guy. No, he won't.
He's going to tell you he's a smart kid. He works hard. No one works harder than him. He's picked up the concepts pretty well. He played in a system in college that was a lot different than this one, but he had to fill in the name of the ex-pro coach here, coach, so it was a pretty complex system. And, you know, we worked on, you know, ever since then. If it's a free agent that you pick up from another team, it's, well, we remember back in the 97 draft when we scouted, fill in the name and play down in Arizona. And blah, blah, that's what he gets for every single guy.
What's he supposed to say?
It doesn't matter what the player is.
No, he says the same thing.
My point is not what he's saying, Fred. That's what he says, regardless of the guy you ask about. The answer doesn't change. You tell me every player is the same?
I think with certain questions, he gives you a good amount of information.
You want to talk about the 85 Giants?
He's not going to give you any answers when he thinks that it might hurt him from a competitive standpoint, or giving out too much information that might hurt, you know, one of his opponents.
But he'll never have a negative answer. He's great for us when we write our nice little pulse stories on, can you talk about how James Sanders has ascended to a leadership role in the defense?
That's a layup. You'd love to have
53 Jameses, but if you say Brandon Merriweather couldn't tackle his own mother, he's not going to say, I agree. He's going to say, Brandon's really available.
Would you want him to agree?
If it's true, sometimes it's true.
You don't do that. I know you don't,
but that's what we're saying. He doesn't.
But what coach does?
I think you could get some coaches.
Some do, because those guys aren't around long. Exactly.
But you're confusing my whole point. For some reason, you seem to be thinking that I think it's critical of that. Bill has been the same guy from February, whatever, of 2000 till today. He answers every question the same way. And I've been at 98% of his press conferences.
Except when he cried 2 weeks ago.
He answers every question. That's a perfect example. If you want to ask him about something in the past, he will give you great answers.
Right. He'll give you good information.
But nothing present. Nothing in the present. Nothing about guys on his team now or guys on other teams now.
So you think he's unstumpable?
Yeah, I don't think you could slip him up.
You don't think my Ninkovich one today would have stumped him?
Exactly, Fred. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, somehow you're arguing that he really does get – no, he doesn't. But no one, I don't have a problem
with
it.
Well, you mentioned when things in the past, he gives you good information.
Great information, but as long as it's not anything now.
Yeah, exactly. And he's smart.
Right.
So if it's irrelevant for you, he'll give it to you.
But he's smart to do that because he can't – when you're talking about things today – you can't give information sometimes and not other times.
Fred, I'm not arguing that he should be doing it. I'm arguing that he doesn't do it. You're telling me he does.
I'll agree with you on things about today. He doesn't. Absolutely. But that's all I'm saying. But in a press conference with certain questions, he gives you a lot of information.
Well, again, nothing about the present team. And that's kind of what we're asking questions about.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
And I don't have any problem with it.
I'm good with that.
He's very consistent.
He is consistent, and I'm fine with it, but he doesn't give you information.
So it's not about...
Because to give you information, we just said he's always going to be positive. That devalues it because you never know when it's true or when it...
Right.
But when... Look at the degree of how he's positive. And what doesn't he say?
He lathers it on pretty good at times.
Yes.
But he will never do the other way.
He's also lathered it on to guys that he's cut 2 days later. Right. So take it for what you will.
Right.
What do we call the letter of recommendation answer?
Right. Exactly.
But that devalues it because I never...
And a smart reporter knows what's going on.
Well, there's none in that room, including us.
You're the only smart reporter then, because you're the only one...
And you're not in that room.
You in the big show who think that he gives information.
Chris with the TIAN says, sorry, guys, but no in Bill we trust for me with this move.
Nice.
Wow. I have a very high opinion of Seymour, much like I have of Brady on offense. I understand he was in the last year of his deal and most likely was not coming, so they had to get something for him now. I also understand the fact that Al Zimers gave up a first-round pick, and that value was too good to pass up.
I just got it.
However, I'm on board with Andy. You have Brady and Moss on the contract for two more years. Surround them with the best players you can now. Am I really supposed to believe that Belichick had to make this move for the future or for cap reasons? Does he not always find some way to get multiple picks and put himself in the best position to come draft time? Can't they basically do anything they want as far as moving money to create cap room?
Absolutely. Yes.
Belichick obviously thinks that he has the horses on the D-line. It would not have made this move otherwise. However, like all of us, since I'm not in the film room or team meetings, I won't know that until I see it. I just hope Belichick is right, and this doesn't cost us a fourth in 9 years.
The problem I have with, and Christian brought it up, a lot of people bring it up, Seymour was in the last year of his deal, and you probably weren't going to re-sign him, which may or may not be true. I don't know. But even if that is true, so what?
Yeah.
That's happened. It happens to every team.
I agree.
Well, he's I would say that he's of a higher value than some other guys.
But do you think it's highly likely that they'll re-sign Vince Wilfork at this point? Let's pretend you just said no. So we have to trade him. Can't go into
right,
the season. We've got to trade him.
But I didn't say no.
I know, but we don't know. But I mean, based on the report on Florio, they were talking to Seymour about an extension, and there was at least a dialogue.
I got
to
tell you, I personally think it's almost 0% that he signs an extension before free agency.
Wilfork.
Yeah.
Right. Got to trade him, Paul.
I think it's and
got to unload him. Got to get some firm value now. You could lose him for nothing later.
Yeah. And now, look, I don't know anything. I'm not involved in negotiations or anything like that. But it's my opinion that Vince Wilfork saw what happened this weekend, and the price went up, not down.
Steven,
so that argument's weak to me that you have to trade him because he's going to be a free agent.
Well, I think a lot of people feel that way.
So then trade Gostkowski, trade
Mankins. A lot of people feel that way. We're kind of saying that I don't really think that's.
How about we win the Super Bowl and we think about next year?
Maybe
after
you
that.
Think you're going to be able to sign Gostkowski. You know, maybe
right,
you
and
think
he's not
going to.
I know in this case
Mankins.
He's not going to be a free agent. Neither of them are going to be free agents because going to be
on
cap. Right.
There was nobody that you could say that for sure we are going to sign this one and we're not going to be able to sign that one. You can't know that for sure.
Why didn't they trade Randy Moss?
What do you mean? Why
he was going to be a free agent. He at least listened to the Eagles. There was a chance you didn't re-sign him.
They don't have the same value to the team. To the team. You know?
What?
I know. You almost lost one for that was
this
more
value
valuable.
That you
Moss
think,
is more valuable.
There's value to the team. There's value to the market.
Yeah, don't you think Moss is more valuable to the team?
I think he is. That's why
and
they
almost lost him
extension.
For nothing.
But he at least listened to the Eagles.
Yeah. But they got him.
I know, but I'm saying there
they
was
didn't
a
trade
good
him
chance.
For value.
But my point is, you didn't
before
know
the trading.
For sure.
When's the trading deadline? October, November,
week six, I believe.
So he had already established that he was great again, right, Randy Moss? He already already had 10 touchdowns. You could have traded him because there was a chance you'd lose him. I think that theory is
the
flawed.
The point is, you didn't know you were going to be able to resign him. Yes, luckily we did. We got him done, 3-year extension, but. We didn't know for a fact that we were going to be able to do
that.
But
you knew you were going to make your best effort to do it.
But
and you knew that the price that you might have to settle on is one that you could afford and was willing to pay. It's not always, we can't afford it. It's we're not willing to pay it. With Moss, they were willing to pay it. They were willing to go there. I don't think with Seymour, they knew they weren't going to be willing.
What's so bad about getting a good year out of him?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
And winning a Super Bowl and saying thank you for your service,
Eric.
Thank you for your service.
Right? I mean, is there anything wrong with that?
No, there isn't.
Now, what's going to end up happening is, if the past is any indication, they win the Super Bowl anyway.
And I hope that's fine. And the genius grows. The genius will just
as well it should
add a new branch.
Steven Basking Ridge, New Jersey says, "Hey, hi, and Eric." Okay, I don't know.
Hey, hi, and Eric.
Yeah, nice to see that Paul is a true company man and falling in line with the front office policy of disinformation and misinformation. His roster forecast almost seems like it was a Coach Belichick smokescreen. I can't.
Yep, that's what we do.
I can't blame you, though. A number of these choices seem highly curious. How does Simmons get cut but is worthy of a 3-year contract? Who is this tight end from the Giants? Is he better than Dave Thomas?
Simmons didn't get cut.
Making it look easy. And how does Slater make the team? I heard he has a bad arm, but seeing that he catches kickoffs with his face, that shouldn't be a problem.
That's a good email.
I should have any confidence in this defense. I'm not worried about the Bills, but is this team good enough to compete with the Chargers, Ravens, and Steelers?
On offense, yeah.
Well, luckily they don't have to play all three of those teams.
Well, you're going to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, you're going to have to go through at least two of them, probably.
I know.
And Eric's right.
Is.
On offense, if they stay healthy, yeah, they are. They're good enough to
offense, they can play with anybody.
Defense,
that remains to be seen.
Jimmy Sanders and company have something to prove.
That's good stuff, though. I like the Slater off the face mask. Just in our defense a little bit, some of those moves were made before he went to press. Not a whole lot we could do about it. Like, Teddy Bruschi retiring, I'm sorry. I think he would have been on the team if he didn't retire.
How many other places had Ninkovich that early on?
Yeah, we had Rob Ninkovich on the roster.
Some places had to add him late.
Again, I'll give Andy the credit for that. He was first on that bandwagon.
Antov
says about the Seymour situation, when Belichick replied in response to what was going on, quote, "I can't comment because we don't own Richard's rights," it reminded me of what a used car salesman would tell a disgruntled customer upon learning the car they just bought was a lemon.
Ooh. Ooh, wow. That hits home.
Wow.
My question, if Seymour sits out in 09, is there any situation you could see where the Pats would still be on the hook if he sits out?
I really don't know the fine print on those types of things. I mean, I don't
know
for sure.
Though, because how this hardly ever happens. It'd be interesting.
Imagine that.
If that actually turned, if that
we all said it was a fumble, but the rule was it wasn't. The Raiders get hosed. We all say there's no way you should be allowed to keep the pick, and the player doesn't go to Oakland.
Yeah.
But the Raiders could get hosed again.
Either that or the other way around.
Does Walt Coleman have anything to do with these rules? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's all we need to do is have Walt Coleman come in and be the ruler, independent quote unquote arbiter.
Isn't it Richard something?
All right, guys, we are in in-season form here. The lineup has been set.
Hey, Colt McCoy.
And I, you know, before we talk to John Rook, who's just walked in on Patriots Playbook, I do want to remind everyone today is the debut of Shop Talk at 4 o'clock with Christina
Again,
Acra.
Again, there's no video for that show.
with Christina Acra at 4 o'clock and the guys from the Pro Shop, 4 to 5 every Wednesday. It starts today. Everybody tune in.
Ends tomorrow.
I think you're going to be, I think you're really going to like the show. It's going to be fun. We'll talk about stuff that we don't get to talk about.
Are they giving
the
stuff
show.
Away?
Yes, there's going to be something given away.
Oh, really?
Nice.
You probably should have led with that if you wanted people to listen.
No, of course. It's
good, Eric.
Very good, Eric.
It's all about, you know, Patriots gear. So, of course, they're going to give something away every show.
John, any truth to the rumor that you had a little impromptu party Saturday night when Sam Bradford went down?
No.
Playing the role of Fred Kirsch?
No, actually, no. I, you know, as a Longhorn, I want him to play. Absolutely want to play because now, you know, guys like
be
strippers,
the best, you gotta beat
they'll,
the best
they'll totally and completely just, you know, say, well, you beat us without our quarterback. So why would you want that? I wouldn't want that.
John Rook, Fred, Patriot
Fred,
Playbook.
Fred would want that. That's how Fred rolls.
Longhorn Hour here on Patriots.com.
I always want to beat my opponent at their best.
Absolutely.
You pray for injuries more than anyone.
While we play them, I want them hurt. Not before the game.
But you want them when they line up across the other side of the line of scrimmage, you want their best out there.
For
then
the first play.
Then you want to maim and torture them.
Exactly.
As long as they make it through the tunnel for introductions when you yell, and now introducing the Indianapolis Colts defense.
That's right. I have to admit, I agree with Fred.
You want them all to get hurt during
might
the game?
Jason might want to
You want them to get
that.
Hurt during the game?
I agree with Fred.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I don't wish
Fred
for anybody
for
to
injuries,
be hurt.
So you'd never want
I don't
to
want anybody to be
anytime
hurt.
Injuries
what I root
talks,
for, what I root for is my team to crush the other one and to do whatever it takes to win. And if that means somebody gets hurt along the way,
I'm fine with that.
So
Fred,
much cannon fodder.
Well, John, you got to remember, back in 07, these guys were on the – they're running up the score bandwagon.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
I don't buy any of that
stuff,
that's
what
Fred.
We're talking about
here.
What
you want me to do,
they
kick
did.
A field goal?
What you want him to do, kick a field goal?
No.
Right.
Absolutely. You don't – no.
Of course.
You go for the jugular when you can. That's the nature of the sport. That's the nature
Didn't
of everything.
Just say it's not right what those BC kids did?
Well, I said,
and Paul was the one who said it's Northeastern's fault. They rolled over.
Why is there an Eastern on the BC schedule?
If you want to blame somebody, blame the schedule maker.
Right.
BC didn't run it up.
No, I don't think so either.
No, once you're in the game, anything goes. But why is there a game?
It wasn't like what Belichick was doing in 07.
That will improve the financial coffers of Northeastern University.
That's one AA football. One AA football sustains itself on that one payday a year. That's how they play.
That is correct.
They go and there's someone's sacrificial lamb. They go into someone's stadium and they make a big money, and that sustains your program.
All right, every once in a while, they ruin the other team's
have
season.
Have them play 22 like Playboy
see Wolverines.
Like, you'll get just as much per ticket.
Just this weekend, William and Mary beat Virginia. And,
Richmond beat Duke. Yeah.
And you know, it's two ACC teams this weekend that went down.
Richmond,
two CAA teams.
Well, who did Nebraska play? Like the
Little
College of the South,
Florida Atlantic. That's
Florida
a 1A team.
FAU. Yeah, that's a
Florida played Charleston Southern.
That's Schnellenberger's team, isn't it?
No, no, no. Yeah. There was a team that played like
yes.
Howard
Schnellenberger's team is Florida Atlantic. There's actually two teams.
Charleston Southern played Florida.
Right. Okay. Now that's a 1-AA.
That was a 1-AA. Yeah. That was a payday.
But yeah, they didn't beat the spread.
They got a $500,000
spread
bucks.
Was like 72
was the.
How about that's an operating budget for a couple of years.
Texas played Louisiana Monroe, which is a state school, and they're Sun Belt, so they're not 1-AA. Although I guess you could make an argument for that league being that way. They received $900,000.
That's multiple years of operating budget.
$900,000 to go get their,
Fred's question
to get their butts beat.
Charleston Southern got $500,000.
Like Northeastern
Florida,
opened at Virginia
that's
Tech
all
a couple
they got?
Years ago.
I think so.
That's what Christina Acra, who will appear at 4 p.m. on the Shop Talk show here on Patriots.com.
No, this is where you really need. You need webcams.
Why?
We have them, but we don't use them.
But we should. Well, we should
for
turn
that
them
show,
on
you
for that
show.
For show, yeah.
Yes.
Turn up the AC.
You're right.
Oh, man.
Actually, you want to heat it up, so.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Betty Rubble.
Fred.
All right,
Eric's
that'll do it.
Comfortable talking about girls. All right, John. What do we have going on your show today?
It's the first show of the year, Fred.
I know.
You know what's even bigger about this is the fact that normally we start playbook the week after the first game.
Do we?
I told you that we always start.
But I'm
so excited to be jumping in here now to talk with Patriots fans. We have to start at the week.
Okay, quickly before we go, I know we're way above our allotted time. Your thoughts on the Seymour situation, just so we have it on record here on our show.
I personally, as a fan, I don't like it.
Okay.
Okay, because I'm one of those that wants to win now.
Right.
But as someone who tries to look at the long-term interest of the organization, as obviously most people around here do, I can understand why the move was made.
Right.
I understand even when the move was made. But as someone who only cares about winning right now and whether or not this team is a Super Bowl team, I don't like it.
Yeah. Have you heard, we've been on the radio for the last 2 hours, any developments yet or anything?
Nothing.
Nothing.
He has not showed yet.
Unbelievable.
He has not showed yet.
Adam Schefter's talking about it now.
All right. We're going to leave you in the capable hands of John Rook. For us, we will see you Thursday.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.